Yeah, I had a little nappy poo in the chair.
I had to go shopping.
Yes, I know. How'd that go?
It went fine. I got everything that I was supposed to get. But then I had to put two toilet seats on.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's you know what? I wish I had to do that.
And the new ones I give about a week.
Oh, yeah.
And they're Kohler seats on Kohler toilets.
Mm-hmm. But they still don't fit right.
I still can slide it around with my hand. And my wife says, well, you just weigh too much. I said, I'm telling you, if you don't, if you weigh anything over 150 pounds, this sucker's going to slide all over the place on you.
Yep, it'll break the joint.
Yeah. Oh, these joints are even better because they're made to clip out.
So, let me see if I can paint an accurate picture. You run upstairs, make it just in the nick of the time, get yourself situated and seated, fire up your phone so you can do a little bit of light reading. Just when you think all is well in the universe, you could find yourself sliding right off the top of the bowl.
Yep.
Because the seat snapped off.
I'm seriously thinking about writing Kohler and say, what hell kind of seat can you put on this toilet model and it not slide to the right or left?
Yeah, actually, you know what? Shoot a little video and send it to them.
Yeah. Well,
so they could see just how much it shifts. I'm serious, because it's like, okay, I'm up to X number of seats now, and I'm shifting it with my hand. Imagine what my butt cheeks can do.
Oh, with my hand. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know whether I'd want to send a video in of...
Yeah, but when you have your hand...
It actually shifting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That would be funny as heck, though.
And you know, Kohler Plumbing Division, which includes the toilets and the toilet seats,
mm-hmm.
and Bemis Toilet Seat Division are across the street from each other in Kohler, Wisconsin. Literally across the street from each other.
Hmm.
Very shitty situation.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist. I had to.
Once again, another week, another late night QRM show number 179 from the Monadnock region in the beautiful southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from the wonderful southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And I should have known better to have spicy peanut satay sauce just before the start of the show. My sinuses are going nuts. This is Michael, the virtual Youper in Studio V. So you're going to hear me clearing my throat a couple times at the start of the show here.
He's so happy to do with the show, he's crying. Eyes watering.
Well, with a QRM studio update, I'm looking at plastic. No windows, just plastic right now.
Nice. Nice.
The old windows are gone. The new ones are going to be in this week. Mm-hmm. And my old windows got removed today.
That's why we can hear crickets in the background.
You can
hear. I can actually hear it. Yep.
Same here.
There was actually a hoot owl out there earlier, so maybe he'll... he'll show up again.
Oh, it's a full moon tonight, too. Maybe the werewolves will jump through your plastic window.
Although, you know, even though you can hear the sounds from outside, the plastic is not letting the breeze and the cool air in, so it is kind of hot.
Is the AC still hanging out of the wall?
It is, but I haven't turned it on because it makes a lot of noise.
Oh, okay.
And besides, I don't want to blow out the plastic.
I really don't think it's going to move quite that much air. Just saying.
I figured it's going to cool down. The sun's going down now. Matter of fact, it looks like it's dark
out over here. You guys must have had some special imported sun on the western
side.
Look out!
Did you look out Michael's window at Studio V?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, bright sunshine. They've got another 4 hours of sunshine left.
Oh yeah.
That's because
at least two to three. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally looked at the map several times because I'm looking when we went to visit you in the beautiful Copper Harbor and realized that we actually went west of Chicago, which is central time. And because of that whole mining thing, which you've explained a million times, you're still on eastern time and you're further up. So
we're eastern and we're north, so it's a double whammy.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Of course, we're on the most eastern part of the eastern time zone, because if you go any further east on us, you're in Atlantic time. So our sun goes down fast.
Yeah, in another month, it will be still light enough to do activities outside at 11:30 at night.
I find that amazing.
So it's not just the central time zone thing, because you go down to Wisconsin or Illinois, it's dark.
Hmm.
You know, it's dark when it's dark. Here, it's, you know, it gets to the point where it's twilight, but usable twilight at 11:30, quarter to 12.
But if you drew a line straight south of where you are sitting right now.
Yes, I'm west of Chicago.
It's 7:20 at night. And it's 8:20 at your...
Yeah, you've got to go about 100... miles souther, though, so for that to happen, though.
But
about 110 miles, actually.
Yeah, so anyway, well, I was going to show you guys. I'm going to have to turn on my video. Of course, this doesn't make any sense for the podcast, but I have to show Michael anyway. I'm going to put my video on for a little bit.
All right.
I got a birthday present from Mr. Joel today.
Cool.
And I'm showing him a giant, humongous John Deere sippy cup.
Yes. And how many ounces does that hold?
Look,
like half a gallon. It's at least a liter.
I there's a sticker over. I was going to take this. There's two stickers. One's a sticker that says "Made in the USA," which I think is covering the
injection spot. Oh, okay.
Let's see. Oh no, there's nothing there. Doesn't say how much. It gives a web page, and I don't want to disturb the other sticker because the other sticker is an official John Deere holographic sticker.
Yeah.
That proves that it's an official John Deere product.
Sippy cup.
Yeah. So I don't want to disturb that.
Yeah, you pull that sticker off, and when they come to check to make sure you haven't hacked the software on your little
John Deere tractor,
they'll repossess your cup, too. Oh, there's no sticker on this. Give me that cup.
It doesn't say.
I know what? It's got to be a minimum of a liter. I think it's like a liter and a half.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, for cleaning, push out to remove. Oh, cool. You can push that out to remove.
Yeah, the spinny thing, so you can clean underneath it.
That is cool. Oh, that is so neat. Oh, I find something out new every day. All right, cool. But I'm looking at the bottom of the cup now. I'm not seeing any marks of how much
measurement
to tell us how much.
It sounds like a late night QRM lab said.
I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to get a measuring cup.
Pyrex cups, and let's measure this here.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put in the first 12-ounce bottle of beer. Now, put in the second 12-ounce bottle of beer.
That's not beer he's holding.
No, that's not beer.
I've got 700, not quite 750 milliliters of Pinnacle coconut-infused
rum. Coconut rum, right, but that's about half a bottle. That's maybe half a bottle. About half of that.
Yeah. I can't. If it was full, I could fill it all up. And
then you'd be forced to drink it.
I would.
Speaking of drinking, we skipped something here.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet, but we might as well start with what the heck we're doing. Oh, we're doing Podcasters Anonymous.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Hey!
And as I mentioned, I'm drinking the Pinnacle Coconut Infused Vodka tonight. Straight on the rocks, but straight.
Ooh, hardcore.
Yeah, and Michael's got, ooh.
Ooh.
I have one of those downstairs.
The Brookside Brewery Parkside Porter bottle?
Yes.
Okay, well, that is what I'm drinking tonight.
Ah.
God, is that good beer.
You know, Joel and I were talking today, and we really think you've got to convince... I'm going to turn off my video
camera.
Again. We really think that you should talk to the brewmaster there and have him create a shipwreck IPA.
Okay. He's got... I mean, he keeps coming up with new names. His Red Metal Amber is really good. Mm-hmm. He's come up with one he calls another stout. So it's cool to walk in there, you know, first thing in the evening and ask for another stout.
That's cool.
You know, chocolate and infused with the red chili.
Well, tell him...
It's actually really, really good.
Tell him that the New Hampshire visitors... Of course, we never met him because he wasn't there.
Nope.
When we were up there.
That's right. He was at a conference somewhere.
Yeah. But tell him that you've had two New Hampshire visitors... Probably more than two New Hampshire visitors in the Brookside Brewery. But tell him his two favorite New Hampshire... customers would like to see one. Like to see a shipwrecked IPA,
which also led us to a very good conversation on what we're going to name our next batch of late night QRM beer.
Yeah, we'll probably name that shipwrecked IPA.
No, but that's not what we said.
Well, what did we say? I forget already.
It's going to be shit faced IPA.
Oh, that's right, shit faced IPA.
As opposed to the brick faced too.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good name too. Does he have one called brick faced?
That's a condition that we call people who had too much of the Brookside Brewery. They get brick-faced.
Well, right. I think shipwreck IPA would be a... Because, you know, the IPAs used to go to India on the ships. So they would... you know, the whole idea of IPA was so that it would last and wouldn't go bad. So shipwrecked IPA, that would be cool.
Yep.
It goes with Michigan.
So does shit-faced IPA.
Lake Michigan.
That goes with New Hampshire.
Lake Superior, too.
So. Yeah. Or I still like the other one, a great name for a beer, Shattered.
Shattered.
Yeah, seriously, I mean, it's, you know, because, well, I was...
Shattered,
What is he? This guy's shattered over here. He's got no clue, you know, so Shattered, you know, but I think I'd make that like a Hefeweizen.
Ooh.
Or maybe a Belgian White. Nah, Hefeweizen, and it's a heavier, smokier beer. Hmm. Shattered Hefeweizen.
All right, Joel, what are you drinking tonight?
Sorry, what was that, Michael?
I was saying the same thing Barry was. What are you drinking?
I actually have treated myself to a seasonal Jack Daniel's Winter Jack apple-infused bourbon and Coke.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was walking, I was perusing through my local... liquor store, state store, which I also like to call the pharmacy. That's where I get my prescription filled. And, boom, boom. All right, bad joke. Never mind.
Sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, the crickets, literally, I heard the crickets when I told it. And I'm like, not even a chuckle.
You know what? I am going to have to get a crickets drop. Well,
you got them going now. Anyway, through the plastic window.
Oh, yeah, I could just stick the...
Just stop speaking. You can hear him go, ear, 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 ear. It's like, all right, there's the end of my comedy career. But so, yeah, it was walking through the the liquor store, and I came across the Jack Daniels. I had this hankering for Crown Royal, and Crown Royal's got several different grades. I thought, man, I want a Crown and Coke. And I look down, and I see this bright white wrapped Jack Daniels bottle. I'm like, why is that white? And it's a seasonal bourbon that's infused with apple.
Mm.
So I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to be a little adventurous and give that a try. Boy, is this stuff good. I'm trying to find a replacement for our cinnamon bourbon.
Mm. Yeah.
And this is good stuff. It's no cinnamon bourbon, but it's good stuff.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Cool. And by the way, you mentioned crickets. And I remember last week I said I didn't hear any of the peepers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hear them now.
Last week I was out taking Sammy out for last outs. Yeah, they're out in full voice. they might actually come in the microphone. Did you hear the truck go by?
No, but I'm going to listen for it now.
I did earlier.
Yeah, yeah, the truck went by. It sounded like a diesel.
No.
Yeah, diesel pickup, I think.
That's funny because I'm looking at those right now.
I know.
Ever since I drove the family truckster, I can't get it out of my blood.
So, yeah. Today was the spring version of Nearfest.
Huh?
And so I got up at dark 30 and traveled down to Nashua, where I picked up Joel.
Hello.
And we all stuffed ourselves into the Prii.
Oh, yeah.
And made our way over to the now traditional IHOP breakfast.
Yes.
And had a wonderful breakfast there. With a very nice waitress, and she was training somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually moved us to a bigger table after they put us at a table for two.
Yes.
And they said, and then they're looking at us, you know, flipping through the menu, and they said, somebody else came over and actually, would you like to move to a bigger table? And of course, immediately we said, yes.
Yes.
Because there will be several plates here, and they won't all fit on this little table for two. So they moved us next to, slid over to the table for four.
Yep.
And we proceeded to order our breakfast, and it was quite good.
Yes, it was very nice.
We filled the table, of course.
Yes, yes. Although I refrained this time. I didn't end up buying, like, a ton more food than I could actually eat. I didn't get, eight eggs. I stuck with three and sausages, and I didn't get a half a loaf of bread. I didn't get any toast, as a matter of fact.
That's right, you didn't.
Yep, or hash browns.
And you got blueberry pancakes with blueberries on top of it.
Yeah, yeah. And although they didn't have any grits, I was kind of, it would have been nice.
That's a southern thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, you can find it every once in a while. Like if you go to Denny's, I think they have it.
Okay, yeah. They are good. I mean, I love grits. Of course, I learned to eat grits in the Air Force. They have them.
Yep. Grits and eggs.
Yeah, on almost every military base. And I do love them. Actually, we get the... we get grits here. We get the instant grits. But
same here, quick grits.
Yeah,
yep.
quick grits, and yep. Pop them in a... I use one of those oversized soup cups. Put two packages in. I pretty much just eye how much water to put in, shove it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and it comes out perfect.
Oh, I've never used those. I always use the ones you dump in the actual pot of boiling water.
Oh.
They still cook up in 5 minutes, but...
Okay. Well, these you probably could do it that way, but I put them in a big cup... You know, put the water in, shove it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and it comes out. And then I proceed to put some butter in it.
Yep. A little salt, a little butter.
And yep. then a little bit of half and half.
Oh, I've never done that.
Pepper. I like pepper, too.
I'm salt and butter. And then it mixes with the yolks from the eggs, so I like my eggs over easy.
Mm-hmm.
And done deal.
Yeah. See, I eat mine in a cup, so it's a good one. Good nutritious breakfast.
Now I got a craving for grits.
I do too, actually.
You know what? And that and those stupid pretzels. You remember those pretzel sticks when we went up to St. Michael? And we went to the steakhouse. What was that? A Longhorn steakhouse we went to?
I think Yes, it was.
It's somewhere in New York. It was Ohio.
No, it was Ohio. It was Toledo. Outside of Toledo.
Yeah, it was. And we got those pretzel sticks they gave us in the basket. Holy smokes, were those damn things good.
Yeah.
I still think about those. I don't know. They must have sprinkled on a magic fairy dust on them or something. But it's like, I love soft pretzels, but these, they were exceptionally good. And they had the Sam Adams mustard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, the stone with the stone ground mustard. Son of a bitch, that was good. Now I'm freaking hungry as hell.
But for breakfast, I had a Colorado omelet.
Yes, yes.
Which was basically a meat lover's omelet. It had every type of possible breakfast meat you could want in it with salsa sauce. And then I got the hot sauce and poured that on top of it too.
Yes.
And then I got a side order of sausage, four links of sausage, and then I got a Belgian waffle.
Waffles.
Yeah. And you know, did my diabetic thing by, you know, covering it in a small lake of maple syrup.
Yes, you basically floated it like a sort of like a life raft in a sea of syrup.
It took me 10 minutes to dial in the amount of insulin I needed for that.
Well, you're almost filling every little valley of the waffle with the proper amount of maple syrup.
That's right. It was like a bunch of little lakes.
Yes.
On top of the of the Belgian waffle. And then I had a glass of orange juice, which is another diabetic thing, but that's healthy for you.
That's good for you.
Yeah, I think I bolused for about 110 grams or 110 carbs. Excuse me. And coffee. Man, I'm telling you, that IHOP coffee is delicious.
Yeah. I wonder if you can actually buy it. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing as good as the Tim Hortons.
No. But that IHOP coffee was good. It was really exceptionally good this morning.
And the funny thing is they give it to you in that carafe, the plastic gold up at the top with the black bottom and black top carafe that inevitably pours way too slow. And, it's almost like a traditional coffee cup, mm-hmm. which is like six ounces of coffee. And I'm used to a mug, which is like, you know, 8 or 10. So you keep going back for more cups of coffee.
Mm. And, of course, you'll hear the whole thing because I brought my... we didn't use the old iPhone 5. I used the 6S inside, right? We had Boss Jock going.
Yep.
The whole time.
Cool.
So, we're going to produce a J&B shortcast. But it's...
a long shortcast.
Yeah, the exclusive long version. I think we've got probably 18 hours of...
you have audio.
Audio from today. So, and we'll get to that later because that's under Geek Corner, I think. No, I didn't put it under Geek Corner. I should. Oh well. So that was our breakfast, and then Michael, how did you start your day?
Well, today.
Yeah. That was a segue, Michael.
Yeah, I know. Next item on the list wasn't the start of my day, though. So,
well, I know, but you know, it was a segue. Okay, it was a poorly done segue.
No, it was a great segue. I just it was a good softball pitch, and I didn't have the glove up, so caught it right in the kisser there. Actually, I started my day by getting up, taking care of some business, and going back to sleep. I've just been wiped out this week. And that's not in the notes, but
we usually don't talk about bodily movements in the notes. We do talk.
Well, it's not what I meant.
Well, you said taking care of business when you first got up.
So. I was literally taking care of some business.
Okay. I guess that
I had some things I had to attend to business wise.
Yeah, right.
Bathroom wise.
No.
Anyhow, it's been a pretty intense week, some of which will be covered later on in the show notes here. But I felt really crummy Monday and Tuesday. I think a lot of things just caught up with me, and so I got some late starts to the day on Monday and Tuesday, which meant even later nights to get a full day of work in. Some pretty heavy deadlines, pretty nasty event that happened through the week that got resolved, but still was not good for the family schedule for a day or two. And this morning is like, you know, it's Saturday morning. I got work to do today, but I can do it later. You know what? I'm going back to bed. It's Saturday. So I literally, after I took care of emails and stuff that I had to take care of first thing this morning, I went back to bed until noon. Which is unheard of for me.
Wow.
But you know what? It felt darn good. And then I got up and we had a father-son bowling tournament today. So actually a parent-child bowling tournament, but Chris wasn't, although Chris is the superior bowler in this family, she wasn't up to it today. So
okay.
I was the pitch hitter coming in for bowling.
Cool. So,
been a good day. Just got back. In time for the show, actually.
Now, do you?
Anyhow,
Before you move on, do you real bowling or handle pin bowling?
No, it's real bowling.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. And of course, I would get shot up here for saying that.
No, I understand. You've got bowling, candle pin bowling, duck pin bowling. There's different variations I'm used to. This was being a parent-child bowling tournament. It was nine-pin.
Nine-pin?
But, you know, nine-pin means that if you get nine or more, so if you either get a nine count or a ten count, it still counts as a strike on the first ball.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I've never played like that before.
That's actually a pretty common variation of the game.
Huh.
And it's, I mean, the last time I bowled was the last parent-child tournament last year. So,
I
didn't do too bad considering that. I think I had a 597, 596 series, something like that.
Wow.
I've never had a 600 series, ever. I used to be a league bowler, too. I have had a 599.
Oh, 600 series.
No. Series. No, 600 series just means you average 200 over three games.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was trying to figure out the average because I was going to say, let's see, a perfect game is 300. And I used to have about a 187 average when I played, which was mediocre. I used to bowl in the league, but that was years and years ago.
I'm sorry, we got a delay again. Jump out. I know we've got Chris, when she was bowling on a regular basis, and one time she was bowling in three leagues at once.
Wow.
She averaged around 220, 225.
Nice.
Like
wow.
And, she regularly would have, you know, upper 600, 700 series games. She's got a jacket with the whole list of 700 series games she's hit.
She ever have a perfect game?
She's had a Viropapa. And a Viropapa is 12 strikes in a row over two games.
Okay.
But she hasn't had a perfect game with all 12 strikes in the same game. Now, her brothers have. Her whole family's got that hand-eye coordination thing.
Wow. Nice.
I think one of her brothers has had several perfect games. But she's a really good bowler. I've only had a higher score than her once in the entire time we've been married. And that's coming up in a week, actually. We're coming up on 25 years she's put up with me.
Wow. That is amazing. Tell her congratulations.
Yes.
Yes, I will. She's put up with me for 25 years. Her condolences or something. I don't know.
I got to tell you, when we used to bowl, we used to do midnight bowling, and that wasn't a league. That was just Facenda Whitaker. Those two names may sound familiar because they were famous sports voices for CBS. They both came out of WCAU. Channel 10 in Philadelphia, and they had the local bowling alley that I grew up with was Facenda Whitaker. They owned it. They used to have on Friday and Saturday nights after midnight, they called it midnight bowling, and it was all you could bowl for like $6 a lane, I think it was. So we'd just start bowling at midnight and, you know, end up around 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Cool.
And so we had a couple traditions there because, you know, three strikes is a turkey. Remember, right. You know that.
Right.
So if you get two strikes and you miss that third strike, the whole group would go... Another satisfied turkey goes down in the books. And people go, satisfied turkey? He said, yeah, you blew a turkey.
No.
I'm so slow because it's on another tab. I got to move it over to this. I got to move that one over.
You know, following up on, actually, I think it was a pre-show topic, but I actually used to bowl in the Kohler Bowling League, as in Kohler Plumbing Products.
Oh.
And back when I did it, the head honcho, Herb Kohler himself, used to be a regular guy. He used to bowl in the league with us.
Wow.
So,
did you ever slide off the seats when you were waiting for your...
I think that had more to do with beer or Black Russians, but I'm sure...
You know, now I'm going to have to use that for the pre-roll so people know what we're talking. I don't think I was going to use that for the pre-roll, but now I guess I'm forced to.
Well, you set it up.
I know.
Yeah, you said it was a crappy subject. So.
Yeah.
Oh, come
on.
Missing the cues left and right.
I got to move it. I got to move it.
All right. Okay, let me shift back to the note there.
Okay.
So earlier this week, my friend wondered, he's the son of the owners of the Mariner North there, and you met him, Dan, big guy.
Yep.
Well, he's average size compared to you two, but big guy. And in addition to being in the family business there, he's got a degree in film. Has several film scripts out there. Has worked for a lot of the major TV networks out there in the past. So it's an interesting person. He just came back. I'm trying to remember which film festival is in Utah. But is that Sunset? Sundance. Sundance. He was invited out to Sundance.
Is that Utah or Colorado? It might have been Utah.
Well, whichever one's in Utah. Well, it was okay. He didn't go to Colorado.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Sundance.
Okay.
Anyhow, he was invited out there. He was trained. Went to University of Las Vegas. And he's an interesting guy. He's got all kinds of good ideas. Well, he's come up with an idea for a short film, comedic type short film documentary this summer. And I'm not going to give it away, but I will give clues as things move along here. And the first part was he's come up with this idea for a fundraiser where he's going to took a photo shoot, which occurred last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be printing this photo, black and white, on front and back of a T-shirt, and then selling the T-shirts as a fundraiser, at which point I'll be able to release the subject matter.
Okay.
But he told me this, told me this idea last Sunday night that they're going to be doing the shooting, and I actually covered this in the last episode of the podcast that shall not be named. I actually recorded the episode from the end of the photo shoot there.
Mm-hmm.
But so the whole crew got up and headed out to Eagle Harbor, about 14 miles south and west of here. And there's kind of a little bit of a rivalry between the two towns. It was kind of like, if you think about West Side Story, the Jets came into Eagle Harbor because there's this whole group of people up on the beach, cameras and everything, and the Eagle Harbor residents are slowing down and looking at us, and they knew we were all from the harbor. You might be from Eagle Harbor, but we're from the harbor. What are you up to? No good. We figured that. But they couldn't have picked better weather. The sky was just sky blue, no clouds. Very little wind, just enough to get, you have the sound waves or sound of the waves on the beach, the sand beach there, but the water is very still. Lake Superior was as blue as could be, and going to be a good picture. Except the picture's going to be in black and white. I'm sure there's going to be. They did also documentaries of the documentary, so that was shot in color. Plus, there was a drone flying around doing videos, so it's going to be pretty cool.
Cool.
When I can release more details, I will.
Awesome. Very cool.
And it was a good day for me to wind down. But again, that's a spoiler, too. I'll explain that later on in the show here.
Okay. Cool. Very neat. Well, again, Joel and I were moving on our way up to Nearfest. And if you've listened to the last J&B Shortcast, which was the fall Near Fest. This is the first spring one we went to. You will notice, of course, we never did a... That was the first time we did a J&B Shortcast during Near Fest, but it's tradition that we get lost.
Oh, yeah, try to get there.
Because we do...
Well, Waze started that, didn't it?
What's that?
Yeah, Waze is the way it starts.
Waze started that. We didn't use Waze this time. We used Google. And I got to say, we didn't get lost.
Not one iota.
No. And we both do suffer heavily from CRS.
Yep.
So it was amazing. We actually made it there and pulled into the parking lot, and I had a text from... No, actually, he called us. Scott called us from the Uncommon podcast. I'm forgetting the freaking podcast name. The Uncommon Sense?
Uncommon Sense Podcast.
The Uncommon Sense Podcast. I am horrible with podcast names. Really, I can't even remember ours half the time.
Fred and Bucky do a show. There you go.
So he called us and he says, "Where are you?" I said, "We just pulled into the parking lot." So he met us at the front. We actually did pay to get in this time, and although I don't think we won any door prizes, but we left before they made the announcements for the big prizes.
Yeah.
And
but you put your address on the ticket anyway.
Yeah, and phone number. So. And so we went in, and Scott met us there, and he went running up toward us, and Joel started walking toward him, and I started walking to the left because, well, there was an unclaimed portal over there.
Priorities
and
all.
Yeah, so I had to go take that portal, and then I went over and met with Scott, and he had a friend there. Who actually lives out by me, the older gentleman, and I forget his name right now, but yeah, because he's in the Cheshire DXCC club, which is the local Cheshire County Amateur Radio Club, which is based out of Keene, but it's for all Cheshire County, and I live in Cheshire County, So then we just walked around, had a good time, were chatting. I think we were chatting more than we were actually looking at stuff. Yeah. And let's see, we were recording during that time. We had
off and on. We were
Boss Jock up and off and on. And let's see, what did we do? We went in, saw some stuff. We turned in our tickets.
Yep.
And then we came up to the drone guy.
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy selling drones or quadcopters, all different sizes. And so, and he was funny. He was a Chinese, I'm assuming Chinese gentleman.
Yeah.
So he was flying this little one, and it's got the bumpers around the props. And he was flying it around, and he was actually bringing it up, and he's hovering around you like a black fly or something.
Yep,
you know, the thing's hovering around you, and he'd bump it into your shoulder and stuff like this. It was funny. He was having a good time. We were watching, and he was showing us. He was doing flips and shooting it up in the air and everything. And they had all different sizes. He was using this little one for this. And then I said, "Well, do you have any with cameras?" And he goes, I said, "I'm looking for a cheap one with cameras," because I've been looking at these for quite some time. The Twit podcast called Know How actually does segments on building quadcopters, and you can actually build a decent size one that takes large cameras.
All right.
For not that much money. It's surprisingly not as expensive as you think if you put them together yourself, and they show you how to balance them and do everything else. And you know, there's websites out there that you can get all the pieces, parts, and components. And Father Robert Ballister is really into these quadcopters. But the first thing they say is, before you go out and build one of these things, you know, where you're going to spend a little bit more money, he says, go out and get a cheapy one and learn how to fly them. Because, you know, if you get a cheapy one and it crashes or, you know, something like that, you're not out a lot of money. So So I looked at what he had and said, "You got any with cameras?" And he pointed to one, and he said, "That one's got a camera, and you can take still pictures, or you can take movies with it." Now, you know, it was like a 2-megapixel camera, so it's not going to take great ones. But I said, "Oh, that's cool." And I think the thing was $55 this thing. And it came with a controller and the battery and the chargers and an extra set of props. And then I got another battery, spare battery. Oh, well, okay, there we go. This really should be down in Geek Corner. Yeah. But I have to tell you that we do have the late night QRM drone now. And I will be learning to fly it. And then we can begin our intelligence our intelligence gathering missions.
Yes, yes indeed. Got to do a little recon.
I was actually thinking, wow, if I get good enough, maybe I'll bring it to the Marshall McLuhan roundtable and just have it hover over Anthony all.
Oh, geez, fly it into the Indian airspace.
Yeah, we need to check on that. If Marshall McLuhan is held at the same time of year as last year,
yeah,
then the three of us and Bob need to go to the ham fest that Bob and I went to during MMPR last year.
Yeah.
Didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
We need to check on that. Yeah. Oh, also, by the way, I'm sure you know about this, but you know, the video of you watching the drone demonstration
Already
up on the Late Night QRM page.
It is. Yes. It's already
on
up there.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Or the Google Plus page.
Right.
You know what I mean.
Yes. Yeah. And that's about the size of the drone that I bought. It's not that one he was flying. Actually, mine might be just a shade bigger, but not that much bigger. Because that one he was flying didn't have a camera. It was It was pretty small. But mine's pretty small, too. So,
and pick it up that we could put little teeny tiny machine guns on it.
Going after inflatable Christmas decorations again, are you there?
The paranoia in.
And leaf peepers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Lasers. I want to put lasers on.
Lasers on my QRM drone.
So we got that going for us, and let's see. We did discover that, and we've met Scott before, and he walked around with us, but we really did realize, and actually Scott realized and mentioned it, that compared to Joel and I, he's short.
Excuse me. Yeah. But compared to,
and he was asking how tall Michael was, because you know, I said, "Oh, Michael's
tall.
About 6'1", maybe 6'2", although he says he's getting shorter."
Yeah, 6'2".
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
And I said, "He's the shortest one when the three of us are around, but he still fits in with the group." So, and Scott goes, "Oh," I said, "Now you'd be definitely shorty if if the four of us hung around." But and actually, Scott's not that short. It's just, you know, when you
You guys are tall.
which you know, I really think that we should be calling ourselves the Giants of podcasting.
I kind of like that.
So, but yeah, we had a good time with Scott, and we he introduced us to some of his friends that were there, and then we met some just people we didn't know that just walked up and started talking to us. Of course, that's what happens at HamFest.
Yep, random conversations, they happen.
And then we met a bunch of guys, which started off as kind of a random conversation. And then I'm looking at this guy and say, I said, he looks familiar. And then, you know, I mentioned I'm in Jaffrey, and he goes, "Well, I'm in Swansea," and which is a couple towns over. And then I realized, I looked at his call sign and name, and I said, "Bruce." I said, he goes, "You know, you look familiar too." I said, "Yeah, you came and did the Y2K thing with us in Jaffrey," and he goes, "Oh yeah, you know, we were so but I haven't seen him in like 15 years, so yeah." Mm-hmm. But So, and then we met a couple other guys, and one of the other guys,
Neil,
used to be Neil, I want to say Derek. I had met him before too, and so, and of course now they're all trying to get us into the Cheshire Club, and I said, well, my problem is that I work in Merrimack, even though I live in Jaffrey, and they have their club meetings like on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock north of Keene at the Red Cross building. Well, that's like, if I leave work in Merrimack to go to that, it's a 2-hour drive to that building from
and
Merrimack.
Well worth it.
Yes, it is. But that's the only reason why I haven't joined in the past, because I'd have to leave work early and get there. Plus, the job that I currently have, when I first joined it, I was doing a lot of overseas travel and didn't have enough time to participate. But now the travel has subsided, and I'm pretty much a home buddy now. So may have to think about that. But they do have a pretty big turnout for Field Day.
Yep.
And for those that aren't amateur radio people, Field Day happens in June. I think it's the third Saturday in June. Don't quote me on that. It's where amateurs go out into the field and try to operate sans, commercial power. In other words, batteries, solar, generator, anything they can. And they operate for 24 hours, basically. And the part of it is setting up out in the field and then operating for 24 hours and then shutting the whole thing down. And then it's a big contest. And so they do it every year. And so I told them, I said, well, I'll get Joel to come up and we'll come up and visit you on Field Day. So we've got that, looking forward to that in June. And I think we'll bring Boss Jock along with us, too.
It's normally the fourth full weekend, by the way.
Fourth full weekend? Okay, I wasn't sure. Yeah. I know it's the end of June.
Great.
So we'll probably do that. And a bunch of nice guys. Had a good
very
time.
Very much so.
And we periscoped while we were there.
Yes.
I popped up the 6 Plus and brought up Periscope because I had actually good signal with LTE up there.
Yeah, you did.
And looking for the longest time, we have zero viewers. And then all of a sudden, we got flipped up and won. I said, hey, we got a viewer. And all of a sudden, a text message comes up. It was Doug.
Yeah.
Slug is Doug.
That was cool. That was very cool, actually.
And so he was watching us and chatting with us a little bit. And then Scott and I had to go visit the little men's room. So I handed it to the phone to Joel. And I said, here, keep Doug busy. And as
I was swinging the phone around, trying to make it an interesting something to look at. At one point, I realized I was looking down at the phone, which means it was pointing at the ground. and Doug texts over to me. He goes, he says, and I said, I don't know how to work this damn thing because I was trying to find menus and options. He's like, just point and shoot. And my reply to Doug was, look, you guys work in TV and know all the oogie boogie ins and outs. I work in electronics. I don't know shit about making a movie.
So needless to say, when we came out from the men's room, Joel was pointing the camera to the ground, and he says, "I turned it off. I put it on standby." Well, you really can't put it on standby. You just stop broadcasting.
Well, it's called permanent standby.
Yeah. So I started it back up. Well, the first thing I did, Periscope, which is a nice feature, is you can save the video to your camera roll, and so I did that, and then I started it back up again. But we lost Doug.
I don't blame him. I mean, after my shooting, my camera workers less than stellar.
Yeah.
Well, Doug had a Periscope today too, and his was I had just missed it, but his Periscope was getting ready for his parents. So I have a feeling he was busy.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. That's and not funny. To mention he had problems with the Mini as well. I was just...
Oh, yes. Well, we need to talk about that, you know, and you know what, because I was going to bring that up, too.
Oh, okay. I'll shut up. I said nothing. Nothing. Forget
no,
I saw.
No. You said something. No, that's a precursor. It's like news at 10.
No. So, see, Joel, I told you, Doug wasn't being rude like you said.
Shut up. I didn't think I was being rude, you turd. That's me being rude to you. trying to set me up.
But I saved the other Periscope session, which nobody came and viewed. But I saved it off, so we're going to force you to watch it on Google Plus, probably.
Lots of shots of parking lot.
I don't remember seeing a notice come by for that. I got to see why.
The what?
The notice.
I didn't remember seeing a notice come by that you were doing it.
Should have, because Doug saw it. Do you follow me on Twitter?
Yeah, I do. Well, what time was it, though? Remember, I slept till noon.
Oh, it was probably before noon.
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably why, though.
Yeah. Because I thought you would pop up, and I was surprised.
Normally, I would have. Yeah, because I mean, I get that whoop.
Yeah.
It's got that nice little audio.
Yeah, I was surprised.
That there's something to see.
I was really surprised you didn't show up. And matter of fact, both Joel and I were quite disappointed.
No.
Shut up. I didn't even think about it, Michael. Don't listen to him.
Joel was making the most fuss about it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm going to do a Periscope. And I'm like, I don't even know what the hell that is. You and Michael are talking about, think on Periscope. You might as well say parakeet. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I see two periscopes from Barry and one from Doug sitting on today's list.
So yeah, I did save bad. It so you can go view it. You should be able to view it. I don't know how long they last.
Well, I don't want to mess up my bandwidth right now. But yeah. I will go back and view it.
Yeah. I haven't seen Doug's.
So. Once you've seen the ground once in your life, trust me, it looks the same in Deerfield, New Hampshire.
I hate to say this, but I don't know whether I'm even following Doug on Twitter, because I really don't use Twitter that much, but now I'm going to because of Periscope. And so I'm going to have to go join him
follow him.
Follow him if I'm not, because I didn't get a notification that he was doing one.
Slacker.
Because if you're not following it, if you're not set up for following, then you can't do privates with them.
Yeah. I don't know how to do the private ones.
You just click on private, and it comes up and gives you the list of your contacts that you have, you know, shared for Periscope, and you just click on the ones you want to share the video with.
I really have to learn I've only watched Periscopes. This is the first time I actually broadcast something. So, it was fun, though.
Yeah, I watched some Illyrias, and Walking with Dave. Dave has been doing Periscopes recently, so I watch him.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that you can save them, because now I can, because we weren't running Boss Jock during that time, but I can grab the audio off of those if I want to put them in the elongated version of the shortcast.
Yeah,
is this going to be the 17-hour version?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. With 15 minutes of looking at the parking lot.
Anyway, so that was, I think that wraps up the quick version of the Nearfest.
Yeah.
It was fun. The weather was great.
Yeah, it was excellent weather. I actually got friggin' sunburned.
One small thing. I thought I lost my iPhone for a minute, but I did something I never do. I stuck it in my back pocket when we went to get apple crisp and ice cream, and I was freaking out. Because I had my Scotty vest coat on, and it's got like 1,000 pockets.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there going, doing this. Looking
check
all
pocket,
over
check
my...
Check that pocket. Yeah, it's like, 19 pockets to check.
And it's like, oh, man, it's in my back pocket. Which I never put the phone in my back pocket. But I gotta do a video of my Scotty vest, because I literally think I can put every electronic gadget loaded into my Scotty vest.
What brand of vest is that, anyway?
It's a Scotty vest.
All right, Scotty.
Something like that.
I think it's either Y or an IE, but yeah. If you just look it up.
Yeah, you just type in Scotty vest and Google will give you the right one.
Very cool.
They'll come up and say, "Did you mean?"
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. I like it, and I'll have to load it up sometime. And you can unzip the sleeves and really make it a vest. Mm-hmm. You can take mm-hmm. the sleeves off, too. So it's pretty cool. Very, very... That should have been a Geek Corner thing, too. But anyway, so... Michael.
Yes.
I noticed that you have been running because I have been getting the Runkeeper notifications of your runs and walks. And I forgot to put that in. I started running this week with the Ouch to 5K at yep. work. And you got some new shoes, huh?
Yep, finally got some new tires. And I have to apologize for anybody following me on Twitter right now because it's real exciting. He's walked today. He's run today. He's run and walked today. That's, you know.
Yeah.
But yes, as I explained last fall, I had gotten my new shoes last year, my new tires, mm-hmm. and really exercised those pretty good. And just at the start of the school year when everything else was going on, my oldest son had a double blowout in the sneakers, as I say, mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, crud, you know, and to get all this stuff going on, the last thing I need to do is go look for a pair of shoes for you. But fortunately, both my sons and I all have the same shoe size now, which is an advantage and a disadvantage at the same time because stuff of mine disappears from time to time. But I said, yep, you know, I've got these great trail running shoes, and, you know, they might be comfortable enough for you for now. Well, they were really comfortable for him, so he has worn them ever since. And when the start of the season started this year, you know, for walking, I've been wearing my paramedic duty boots. And that's great for walking. It's not great for running. So I decided I really needed to get running as soon as we still got snow on the trail in places, but for the most part, things are starting to clear up. And I got David's old sneakers from last fall. We hadn't thrown them out yet. And although they're falling apart left and right, I can still run in them. So that's how I've been going up until now. But I got paid on Thursday. Woohoo! And yesterday went to there's a bootery, a regular bootery in Hancock there. Yeah. And those people take the time to actually measure your feet, figure out what type of service you're doing.
Wow.
I've been going there for a couple of years because they, you know, you walk in there to buy a pair of shoes and you got to count on half an hour, 45 minutes.
Right.
But when you walk out of there, you're walking out with the right pair of shoes for yourself. And a lot of times they're less expensive than the sports mall store.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Not only did I get the exact pair of running shoes that I needed that fit my feet perfectly, but they threw in a new extra pair of inserts.
Oh, wow.
They said, well, crap, if you're running, you know, 20, 30 kilometers a week or more, you're going to wear those inserts out and nothing flat. So we're just going to give you an extra set right off the bat.
Nice.
So I'm a happy camper. As a matter of fact, by the time we got back from town today, I was trying to figure out if I had enough time to go for a run before the show. And I realized I either could run or I could go to town and get my beer for the show.
Oh, priorities.
And I just, yeah.
You know, you could have run down and got the beer.
You know, I did think about that, but I did have one other problem, and that is since they were hotspotting off my phone, I had no charge.
Oh.
Which meant I couldn't listen to anything, and that really is a big part of running for me. So,
okay.
60% chance of rain tomorrow, but I plan on trying to find the break in the rain and going for a run. By the way, we were talking about Doug. Doug has mentioned in his latest episode that he has loaded the Runkeeper app on his phone, so mm-hmm. you guys need to sign up with him as well.
I noticed that he signed up with you.
Well, he may not have known that you guys were on it. So,
well,
Doug, you are hereby notified. Actually,
I'm quite.
Actually, by the time he hears this, it's going to be fall. So, yeah. We should let him know.
I got to tell you, I got to tell you, we had a discussion with that, and Joel is very upset that he's not following us.
You need to reach out. Speaking of that, also, Mark has gotten very interested in it. He bought a pair of running shoes yesterday as well.
He texted me today. We were actually,
yes,
I didn't get to him right away because I didn't see it until a little bit later because well, we were at the Muirfest.
Yep.
And he was asking me which Ouch to 5K program I was using last year when I did it. So he had
going
one.
Out on his first run tonight.
Actually. Oh, cool. Very good. Walk one.
Awesome.
Run one. Walk, run, yep. Run one.
So, got to start somewhere.
Yeah, but you know, he did all that biking and stuff last year, so something tells me he's going to be skipping weeks in the program. Yeah, he could probably start at week 5 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have much of a transition period.
Because he's young.
And in good shape.
And in good shape. And he rode the...
And he's in ROTC, too.
Oh, Jesus. Why is he even doing Couch to 5K? Just go out there and run it, you know? You can do 5K. Jeez.
Yeah, I didn't ask him today. You're in JROTC. How much are you running during the week? Because I know he's running.
Yep.
What branch of the ROTC is he in? Army, Air Force? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Does he wear a green uniform or a blue uniform?
It's green.
Oh, he's Army. Oh, yeah, he should be running. I was going to say, if you said he was in the Air Force ROTC, I'd say, yeah, you might want to start with the Couch to 5K program. But if he's Army, geez, yeah, that's all they do.
Yeah, they actually have. They have a very, very good JROTC program at our school, the academic and physical and competition and everything. Very proud of those guys.
Very cool. Very, very cool indeed.
And it's welcomed in our community. I clarify that because I know that's not always the case.
No, yeah. No. Some of the more liberal, let's say, towns and even the schools. There's many, many, many. I've heard of this with my kids. They're both in junior ROTC programs. And it's amazing how some of the stories that you hear from the teachers that don't like the military brat kids. Oh, those military kids. And I'm like, are you serious? And they're like, they actually take an attitude with them in school. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, it's what a way to form the minds of the youth. Mm-hmm. Then give them attitude for participating in something that's structured and disciplined.
That allows you to make fun of those people. Because if you lived in another country, you probably wouldn't be allowed to.
You wouldn't have the right to an opinion, let alone to be able to voice it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's nice to hear that the community supports the kids there with the junior ROTC program.
Cool.
I applaud them.
That's neat. And Joel, before we move on to the next one, your next one is really belongs in Geek Corner, so we're going to go ahead and move right into Geek Corner.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
Right,
I always want you to finish the song.
It's good, you know, I end up humming that song, and I know it's a play on some other song, which I...
Riding Dirty.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yep. I don't know the song. I just know White and Nerdy. But it's a cool song. I'll have to listen to the real one. So, okay. So, Joel, you had this up in Days of Our Lives, but it really is belongs in Geek Corner, so go ahead.
Well, it was excellent, excellent thing after a great day at Nearfest today. Although, again, I don't know, it sounded like a little whiny bitch, but I didn't realize it got quite as much sun because when I walked through the door, here my beautiful bride was. She says, hey, you got a package on the end table next to your chair, and oh, my God, look at the top of your head.
That's not a good sign.
So you got it today? Because you weren't expecting it until Tuesday or something.
I wasn't expecting it until Tuesday. It showed up today.
Wow.
And I diligently was working on it and got it activated. So my iPhone finally showed up to replace my turd droid.
Well, and you got to be, you know, your turd droid is like one of the first Android phones that came out on the market. Yeah, make sure you tell people that because
because some of the new Android phones are really really nice. This one is an LG, not a Samsung, and no word of a lie. God, this thing has to be 6 years old, at least.
Yeah, I think that's when they first came out. Literally, you got one of the first ones.
Yep. So it was impressive for what it could do at the time. And so I've been using it just to try and get me by because I'm everything Apple-centric now. And I thought, well, maybe see if I can get used to the idea of having an Android and blah, 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 blah. And then I had a Samsung Galaxy S6 in my hand, maybe I would have delayed the purchase a little bit, but I don't think so. I'm too Apple-centric right now to be able to want to bounce back.
Right.
And so I bought a used iPhone 4S. Reason why I went with a 4S rather than the 5S that I was looking at is because something had occurred to me. I have like 9 cases for 4Ss that run the current software, and like 2 of them are like Mophie juice packs, and one of them is an OtterBox juice pack. And I'm like, I got all these cases for it, and I'm getting ready to buy a phone that won't fit any of them. Mm-hmm. That's kind of stupid. And I'm like, my work 4S... it serves me fine. It does everything I need it to do in every shape and form. So save myself an extra $100-$125 buy the 4S and call it good. Of course, I had to buy it in white, though, because everything Apple is, well, for me, white. White in color.
Really?
Yep, I bought the white one. I mean, I put it in my OtterBox anyway. So okay. My OtterBox with the battery pack, and it's...
Real men don't be seen with white phones.
Real men aren't threatened by a color. Actually, I actually...
And it is so cute to see Joel with a little itty-bitty 4S.
Yeah, but by the time I put it in my OtterBox that has the battery, it's as big as anything, really. But actually, it's a little on the chunky side after I was holding your 5S all day today running Boss Jock when you had the Mophie juice box on it. And I'm like, this thing is still smaller than my 4S. But then again, my OtterBox has a built-in battery. It has the front and rear screen protectors. Yeah. It's waterproof. So, or water resistant.
Yeah.
So it's taken some serious hits, and I took my my work phone out of it because I'm like, oh, screw this. I don't care what the hell happened to the work phone. My phone's going in this one.
Yeah. Well, that's and, cool.
It looked like brand new, the work phone, and that's falling out of my pocket at 22 feet in the air.
Wow. Jeez. Cool.
So
so you got it, huh?
I got it. Charging it up. I'm a happy camper now. Now I'm in the process of weird thing backing it up and getting the stuff off my MacBook and onto it. It did most of my contacts, but didn't do them all.
Huh?
And I noticed that. Yeah, just before we started the show, I'm like, I went to my favorites and I'm like, it just had a list. It had your name and Debbie's, and then just telephone numbers, no names, no pictures.
That's weird because mine transferred over. Perfectly. Did you do a backup right before you did it?
I did a backup a little while ago, but those numbers and that information should have transferred over with no issue. I don't know why it didn't. But I mean, it's like out of 177 contacts, I'll scroll through them and make sure that one for one that they're all there.
That's weird because mine's always made work perfect because I back it up and then I just restore from that current backup.
Right. Now, do you plug yours in or do you...
I plug it in because it goes faster.
Right, right. Yeah. So, it did most of everything. It did my apps, which is, nice to have. It didn't do all the podcasts. The ones that I subscribe to and Downcast, they all didn't slide over.
I don't know whether... Well, mine did.
Some of them
mine did.
There's some Bob's stuff did.
There's a setting.
Yeah.
There's a setting in... there's a setting in Downcast for backing up everything.
Okay.
So if you don't have that clicked, it may not transfer everything.
Yeah, so like my podcasts were alive. That didn't go over because there's 147 episodes that I have all of them on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I can listen to them in order. And then like Bob's stuff didn't transfer over. Mark My Words didn't transfer over.
How much memory did you get on it?
I got the 16 because now with the cloud, I store everything up in the cloud.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, it makes it a hell of a lot easier. It's like, oh, I don't need to have a big phone with tons of memory because I can keep it all in the cloud.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'm happy, man. I'm jiggy. I'm very, very happy. And, you know, for $130, how could you go wrong?
That's good. That's a good price.
It's a factory refurbished one, too. It's not just used. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because, you know, texting you on the turd droid was a pain in the ass because I couldn't do the voice texting.
Yes.
Because you texted me and I was in the car and I said, ah, jam, you know, and, you know, so I ended up. I ended up using the little microphone, you know, that does the translation and it totally royally screwed up what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I think it said, I was telling you that I was in Milford by the DMV.
Yes.
And it translated to, like, I'm in Milford something, PCB. Something. Huh?
Yeah, I'm in Milford something PCB or PVM.
No,
or something.
It said, oh my God, or OMG.
Oh. yeah, I mean, it's when I saw that, not to mention trying to reply back to you guys, you know, because there's times we get to texting and talking. And that Android phone, I could not type on that friggin' keyboard. I mean, you know, when you got Jimmy Dean breakfast sausages for fingers, for starters, it doesn't help.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to type back, and it would misspell every word. And I don't mean harshly, but that Android, it would pick the most random-ass word that I was even close to trying to spell. And then you got to hit the back, and trying. And I'm like, God, I missed the keyboard for my Apple iPhone. So
yeah, you know, if I was smart, I would have switched over to WhatsApp.
Oh, WhatsApp. Yeah.
I was going to suggest that if this went on for any length of time, because remember, I have random cell tower access up here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I can't text unless the cell tower app actually happens to be on.
Right.
So if that doesn't work, WhatsApp is one. The other thing I use a lot, actually work wise now, I've been really happy with is Slack. And that's another multi-platform, Slack, S-L-A-C-K.
I think I downloaded that. Is that a one that has voice in it?
It's got everything.
Let me check.
I got to check. I think it's got voice, but I mean, it is really meant to be a text, picture, project planning, everything for a team type. Okay. But it's free. It's cool. I should have brought that up for a
click selection corner. Sometime. Oh, I know. Yeah.
Let me check Slack. Do I have Slack? I do have Slack.
You've got so many pages with so many apps, even on your old iPhone. I'm looking at it, and like Boss Talk, I thought closed.
Welcome to Slack. I don't think I
opened it yet. You just randomly download stuff.
We could do show notes and message coordination and everything right in Slack.
This is the one that you can create teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I already have. Yeah, I'll have to play with it.
For those who don't know, Barry has 37 pages. Each one has 20 apps on each page on his phone.
Thank God they added Spotlight to iOS.
Yes. I've never even used it. I don't even know what it does.
What you do, you put your finger about halfway in this display and swipe down, and it has basically it's a search option and for your apps. Yeah. And so then you just start typing in the first couple letters of the app you want, and it usually pops right up.
Oh, okay.
And you just click it. I don't page through the pages of displays I have. I just swipe down and type in the first couple letters.
That's what that is. That's come up a couple times on my phone. I'm like, it's a search for something, but I never do for what.
Yeah, it searches your apps. Well, it searches anything on your phone.
Okay.
So... But the apps come up first usually. Well, yeah, if you're searching for one. But I use it all the time.
Right.
Open mail app. Check my email. Why? Oh, look. I thought I already did this.
I don't know, but it makes for riveting radio.
I know. And do you think I give a shit? yes. That's the right address. Okay, sure. I think I got the other address, too. Okay. I'm going to start a team. I may have done this
already. I haven't downloaded yet. My phone's my phone's charging up.
Well, I'm just getting ready. I'll start the late night QRMG. next. I hope I can do it that way. Okay, Team Mural. URL.
What?
Oh, I have to start it. Okay, LNQRM. Oops. Don't capitalize, damn it.
Yes, it's got to be all lowercase.
Well, it automatically, okay, does. Okay, there we go. All right, and then I got to send out invites. Michael, the usual one that I send to?
Yes, that's fine.
All right, let's see if you get it. At .com.
Easy for you to spell.
With three vowels.
No. It doesn't matter. But
it's bringing up that keyboard is kind of tough. That's an option.
Let's see. I'm going to invite Michael because he's the only one. Oh, I got to choose a username now? Jeez. All right.
Miss Typer 63 at AOL.com.
And now I got to provide a password.
CompuServe 11.
Use your email address and a password. Okay. All right. There we go. This is the Geek Corner, so we're allowed to do this. Okay, now I'm ready to open Slack. Yeah, I have the app. I'm in the app. Open Slack. Okay. Huh?
I got my invitation.
All right. Welcome. If you are seeing this message, it means you're just getting started. Two channels have been automatically created for your team. The first one, Pound General. Or should I say hashtag general? It used to be a pound sign back in the old days. Is what you're looking at right now. It is intended for team-wide communication. The other one is hashtag random, and it is intended for non-work banter. Oh, we'll be on that one all the time to keep the other channels clear. Okay, I'm on. I joined. But I'm the only member, so Michael, you'll have to join.
I'm working on it right now.
Oh, okay. Riveting. Late night QRM Geek Corner stuff right now.
Woohoo!
What the hell's that?
Jeez, I heard that.
That wasn't me. That wasn't here.
No, that was bikes going down Main Street outside the window.
Okay.
Harley and the rice burner.
There he is. He joined.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hi, Michael. I'm spelling Michael wrong. There you go.
Call him Mikhail again.
Yeah. Did I spell? Oh, I did. I spelled it wrong. That's all right. I forgot the E before.
Spelling with Late Night QRM is hosted by Dyslexia.
Can you do? Is it strictly messages?
Oh, no, there's a lot, but let us practice that during the week, and we'll come back and do a review next week.
Okay, but we're all set up. There's two of us now, and then we'll get Joel.
Yeah, I'm using this team-wise for the day job.
Okay,
right.
That's cool. I'm real happy with it.
All right, so we're going to review this Slackerware. I mean Slack.
Slack.
For next week's show. All right. We got a couple stories from Barty. Barty suggested, and he didn't show up, so we'll save them because they will keep.
Right.
Next on the list would be I put this in Geek Corner. It's kind of geeky in a, you know,
geeky kind of way?
In a home maintenance kind of way. I should probably start this off with this bumper. And it's not about the JD. However, I did go to the local JD dealer store to purchase these. My wife gave me a option. She gave me a choice. I either go out and buy a Cyclone rake, for the tractor, which has a big cart on the back then with a giant vacuum. It's got a 5-horsepower engine and a giant vacuum, and you can attach it to your lawn tractor, and it sucks everything up and grinds it up even finer and collects it, and it's great for leaf collection and everything. And the one that's for our size property, it would cost roughly $3,500. And she said, or if you think that's too much, yes. She actually played me on this. She goes, we could just do with a couple of leaf blowers, but I don't want to get the... We already have a leaf blower that runs for about 20 minutes and then it gets too hot and bothered and dies. Oh, listen, traffic.
Oh, yeah. Can hear it.
That's unusual up here in the studio. But since I have no windows... So she says, I want backpack ones. I said, backpack ones? She goes, yes, I want a small one for me and a large one for you. Okay. I said, so I went to the John Deere, because they also handle professional style stuff, you know, equipment. And of course you do know that when you go purchase a John Deere, like a Home Depot or a Lowe's, it's not really a John Deere. And I say that because, yes, maybe John Deere makes it. I don't even think they make them. I think they just put their names on them.
Right.
But they're crap. They're not real John Deere tractors or equipment. But I went there because they sold other things, and I ended up, I was looking at them, and I said, well, I've heard about Echo backpack leaf blowers, and I've heard about Husqvarna ones, and I've been told that the Husqvarna makes the best one. And the guy says, well, we got this other brand and they're about the same price, but lately we've been selling a whole bunch of these to all the landscaping people, and it's called Red Max. And he goes, and a matter of fact, Husqvarna just purchased them about 3 or 4 months ago because, well, they were getting to be pretty competitive, so they bought the competition. So I ended up getting these Red Maxes because they look cool. And, they're good. They're good blowers. And I got her one that I think puts out 169 mile per hour, you know, blower, and mine puts out 200 and some miles per hour one. I got the big one, and so we haven't used them yet. Tomorrow's going to be leaf blowing day, because, you know, the family that blows leaves together stay together.
Woohoo!
So, but apparently, and it's true. She said, and she came up with this idea because she goes, you know, when we had the landscaping people come in and do spring cleanup for us that one time, they had three guys here with these backpack leaf blowers, and they pretty much just blew everything into a big pile, and then they had, you know, this giant thing that, and they sucked up the pile
right
into a trailer, and but all the work was being done by these backpack leaf blowers. So I said, right, okay, that sounds like something we could use here, because we do have a lot of dry stack stone fences on our property, and they're a pain in the ass to get leaves out of. You know, you got to do it with a blower. And I mean the whole front of the house has one of these ones, and there's one in the back, and then there's one down at the bottom of the hill, and you know, it's and they're protected. Did you know that? In New Hampshire, all the farmer dry stack stone fences are protected because of historical reasons. So, yeah. So, anyway, so that was my Geek Corner thing. We've got leaf blowers.
Cool.
And
sounds like you're going to have yourself a good old time with those.
I really want to get a wagon or something and put Anne-Marie on it and then have her just hold the leaf blower out toward the back and see if we can propel her in the wagon down the driveway. Because she weighs about I don't know, barely 100 pounds, I think. So, okay, so that was my riveting Geek Corner news. Michael?
Okay, well, last week, again, this is probably coming out after, well, not really. This will probably come out before the conference, but I did talk last week about MacStock, mm-hmm. and it's all one word, MAC, mm-hmm. capital STOCK, or lowercase, or whatever.
I hear it's doing well. Oh, no, that's Apple stock that's doing well.
That's Apple stock, yeah. Anyhow, I'd heard about it. I was waiting again for the magical paycheck. The way the company pays, it's twice a month, which is great, but sometimes that twice a month winds up being over 3 weeks instead of two. Mm-hmm. And this was a 3-week period. So it was a really good check when it showed up. But, after considering I had just started with the company, there was a long dry spell there for a little bit. But
What's great about being paid every week, because where you get a dry spell, we get an extra paycheck.
Yeah.
just had to show off.
I get an extra large paycheck, though, because I'm still unpaid by the
market. But you still have to wait.
I had to wait. Fortunately, I'm still doing the consulting work, too, and one of those checks came in and kind of tided us over.
Nice.
But anyhow, I was waiting, although the conference ticket wasn't that expensive, I was waiting for the paycheck to show up, just being responsible about it. Through Monday, the MacStock conference tickets are $59 a piece. Then they go up from there. So I wanted to get one early. Plus, they're fully refundable. It's a pretty good deal.
Nice.
So I picked up the MacStock ticket, and then I also registered for the Mac barbecue to follow. And then I looked at it and like, well, this is kind of strange. And I'm still going to do both of these events, but MacStock is in Woodstock, Illinois. Mm-hmm. It's my hometown. The barbecue is just a few miles outside of O'Hare Airport.
What?
Yeah. That means it's like in traffic. That's like an hour and a half drive if it's depending on traffic.
Why are they doing that?
I don't know. It is, I don't know if they're officially... I mean, they cross-link each other on their web pages, but I think it just happened to both decide this was a good idea on the same day. But I'm like, so we're going to be in a conference all day at the college, mm-hmm. and then get in our vehicles and drive to Chicago?
Yeah, one of these events is going to fail, and I don't think it's going to be MacStock.
No. The main reason why I'm going is MacStock, but I was like, you couldn't do something more local?
You could set up an alternative barbecue spot at your mom's house.
And charge
money for it. There you go.
$50 a burger.
And you could have Mac stock, and then you could have Michael stock.
Oh,
right after.
But yes, so anyhow, I have I've signed up for both. I know who some of the presenters are at Mac stock. A lot of them I don't, but again, this is going home for me, so I was like, I want to do this. I want to see how they do. It's the first one. I can say I was at the first one, and hopefully it will continue because, Macworld is gone. It's done. This is really it's intended to be the replacement to Macworld. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But that's June 20th, so I've got that set aside. And cool. Again, it's just going home for me, and I need to get back to take care of things for my mom and stuff anyhow. So that's a good deal.
Attention, please. Attention, please. Stay away from the white iPhones. I repeat, stay away from the white iPhones.
Do you feel better now?
Oh, it's just a little Woodstock thing.
There's no parking in the white zone.
What was that from?
That airport.
Well, I was referring to the announcements at Woodstock. I forget what they were telling people to stay away from. Oh, it was some kind of drug.
No.
I forget what it was now.
Yes. I'm glad you feel better now, and I'm still glad I bought a white iPhone.
It'll be cool to go back to my old college, too. I That was the first college I went to 40 years ago.
Oh, so it's just like yesterday.
Yeah, just like yesterday.
Very cool.
I just realized that I put two comments that were supposed to go up there in the wrong place. I was going to say, I had two other things, I thought. So let me move them into there, and Michael can go on to his next topic.
Well, yes, it's not quite sunk in. It still hasn't sunk in. You know, people are coming back from going elsewhere over the winter, and everybody wants their internet back up, and they want internet new connections at places, and they're firing up their computers that they've got viruses on them, and I'm getting phone calls left and right. It's like, yeah, we got a problem here, and we'd like to install internet here, and can you do this? And I'm like, no, you know, I've got a full-time job now, and I've got three part-time jobs. Yeah, but you know, can you come over tomorrow? I'm like, what part of I have a full-time job don't you understand?
No.
I'm getting 2 to 3 calls a day. Wow. Currently backed up about 10 issues in town, and I've just flat out told everybody, I said, you know, again, and some people are getting snippy with me about it. It's like, I don't work for them. Right. I generally don't get paid for what I do. This is something I do for the town, and I have a full-time job.
Right.
You guys didn't know how good you had it.
Yeah, really.
Well, we'll just hire somebody else in the town. Like, yeah, who? Well, you know, Joe Schmoe in Corner there is not doing anything right now. I said, yeah, he's familiar with OS X, Microsoft, microwave paths, how to align dishes, how to set up transmitters. They don't get it. They still don't get it. And it's getting to the annoying part because I can't go into town for a beer without someone coming up to me and going, you know, I got this problem, which is like, that's great, fine. You know, that's not why I'm. I'm done. It's almost midnight. I've been working all day. I just want a beer or a glass of wine, and I'm going home. So it's the harsh reality is starting to settle in. And it's not like I'm abandoning them. It's just that you guys are going to have to wait until I have time, and which is generally Sunday afternoons now.
Right.
I said, it will get better. You know, once David and Mark are out of school, then we have Team Uper.
Yeah. Divide and conquer.
Yeah.
You betcha. And they can use the work. You're like, well, we'll pay you for it. And like, no, yeah, it doesn't matter. unless you want to pay me engineering salary for what I'm doing here, and I don't think you do.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You don't realize how good you got it. Again, you should repeat that. You don't realize how good you got it.
Yeah, that was the other one. It's like, well, then they need to hire somebody. I was like, no, they won't. Well, they have to. I was like, no, they don't. It's a private company. There is no utility up here serving your needs. As a matter of fact, they are running this at a loss as a community service, but they are under no obligation. And you guys get pissy enough about it, and they'll just shut it off. Yeah. Well, they can't do that. It's like, yeah, they can.
What don't
you don't understand. Yeah, they can.
It is not a utility.
Yeah. And they're like, well, when Verizon shows up, we'll just do all our data through LTE. And like,
yeah.
You have no idea what kind
Tell them to listen to, what was it, 2 podcasts ago? I priced that out for me.
Yep.
Yeah, see.
So, you know, I'm trying not to, I'm not getting snotty about it or anything, but
right.
Most people have no idea how much time I was putting in this town. And it's not that I don't enjoy doing it. It's not that I'm having to pick and choose now. Now, they've changed park managers. And the former park manager, fantastic guy, but he didn't trust. He had no other backup, so he didn't trust switching over to the ISP that I help out with for the park. And the park service up here had one of the only 2 T1 lines coming into the area.
Oh, wow.
It was a fractal T1.
Oh,
I found out that they were getting about $384K. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were paying $900 a month for that $384K.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Now AT&T just contacted the Park Service and said, well, we're discontinuing that old T1 service, so you have to go up to the 10 meg line if you want to stay on. And they're like, well, okay. Yeah, except that will be $1,800 some odd cents a month.
What?
For 10 meg service. And then they came back to me and said, didn't you just rewire the Welcome Center and the marina reservation systems last fall? And I said, yeah, I did. What are you providing? I said, oh, it's 4 meg with, 8 meg burst.
Mm-hmm.
What are you paying for that? And I said, I think you're paying $60 a month for that. So, needless to say, they were being pushed by AT&T to make a decision, and they said no. And I just told them, I said, yeah, we can provide 10 meg if you need it, but you've been working on 384. I said, if I give you 4 meg, it's going to seem like lightning technology.
Yeah.
And I said, and I'm an independent person again. I do everything I can for this ISP, but we are microwave down to Calumet. Yeah, things can go wrong.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pretty darn reliable, as you've noticed recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I said, I would. I'm recommending they do the same thing that I did at their Welcome Center and at the marina, and that is in putting in a load management router that accepts two ISP inputs. The ISP that I help out with, which is PASTI, will be their primary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling them to go ahead and sign up with HughesNet as a backup. And the router will automatically load balance. If it sees PASTI goes down, it'll switch them over to the satellite service, and it'll be totally seamless to the park personnel.
Oh, wow.
And the combined bills, plus the routing equipment, everything, they will save.
Yeah,
that's everything. Cheaper. They're still going to be like $1,000 ahead the first month.
Right. Yeah.
And after that, the equipment cost goes away, and it's going to cost them, I think, $150 for both services per month.
Jeez. From 900,
and they're going from four, basically roughly 400K up to 10 meg.
Oh. Unbelievable!
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm doing some good in the world as well. I try.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, they don't know how good they've got it. Seriously. And by the way, Michael, could you set up a system like that here in our town?
I need to get in one of my little vehicles, drive over there, get you a solid connection, see if I can buy an extra chair from Joel, because I'm still sitting in a folding chair in my office.
Just take it, stow it in the Jeep.
I'm sorry, Michael.
I'm not really blaming you. Sorry. It just broke. But yeah, I've been sitting in the folding chair that Joel sat on. Yeah. Actually, it's held up fine.
It's a little lower to the ground, I think. But.
Oh, God, here we go.
I'm not going there.
Oh, my God.
I broke the big chair. What are you talking about?
Yes. Apparently, our sitting techniques differ. I know I'll take the chair out, so I think light thoughts.
Well, what was left of the old chair was recycled for the boys, and they have a really nice gaming chair now, so they're happy. Mm.
Okay.
But yes, this last paycheck, I had to pick priorities. Did I want a good chair for my office, or did I want running shoes?
Right.
I picked the running shoes.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Besides, the folding chair keeps you awake.
Yeah, it gives me a backache, too.
That's why you stay awake.
Yeah.
So, well, I got to tell you, I'm not happy with the iOS 8. What are we up to?
8.3?
Uh-huh. My phone has self-rebooted at least 4 or 5 times this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Without me, not me doing anything, any particular special. I mean, I'm in Pocket Cast and trying to switch over to another, play a playlist and thing would just all of a sudden, there's the Apple. How about that? So I don't know what's going on, but this is just a short one. I'm not real happy with the iPhone right now. Well, with iOS 8 right now.
And, I haven't had that problem. I have had, since iOS 8.3 has come out, I've had two apps that will crash and restart. One of them's Downcast, and Downcast has never really seemed to adapt quickly to the changes in iOS.
No. Right.
They do fix it, but they tend to lag. And the other one's crashing on me is Ingress.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Well, Ingress, yeah. You're lucky you can get a freaking connection on Ingress half the time.
Yeah, at times. But yeah. I'm not having any launcher issue or reboot issue with it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, mine just crapped out, and all of a sudden I see the app, and I said, oh, fucking great. Yeah, this has never happened to me in the past. And so I'm not liking that. And then I think I talked about on OS 10, 10.10.3. Well, actually, dates back before that. I think I talked about the Bluetooth and Wi-Fi issue.
Yeah.
And so I've been going sans Bluetooth on the MacBook Pro, and everything seems to be working fine Wi-Fi-wise. But what was it? There was something else, and now I can't remember because I forgot to write it down, that upset me with the Mac, with OS 10. Ah, damn it. I can't remember now. I got CRS hitting me right now. But there was something that... I'm not happy. I'm not happy with the way Apple software is moving right now. Not sure why it's doing this. And it hasn't been a problem in the past, at least the past 7 years that I've been an Apple fanboy. But this is the worst it's ever been. And however, I've got to say, I've been watching the videos from Microsoft, and particularly the Microsoft Windows 10, and that's looking better and better. I mean, they have really done some major cleanup and improvements on that system, and I'm really digging this holographic program that they've got. Have you seen the video for that yet?
I've just heard about it.
They've got like this, these glasses you wear. It kind of looks like almost like a shield type thing. You put it on, and you know, everything is out there. You can like, I want to watch this video, and you say, I want to put it over here on the wall, and you put it there, and it's like you're watching a large screen TV on the wall. With you know, full resolution and everything. Or you can say, oh, I want that to move along with me when I go into the other room. So you start walking and the thing just stays on the wall and follows you into the next room. And then it's on the wall. You've got furniture and stuff and like all these different like folders and things like that you can manipulate just by pointing at them and moving them around and stuff. Now they have a little robot that runs around and does stuff, and out of the top comes a holographic top of the robot, and you can have it manipulate and do things. It was a really cool video. I saw it on CNET.
Just as long as this little paperclip doesn't follow me. Hi, are you trying to look at HoloEyes?
But so far, and of course this is all show, and supposedly this holographic stuff's going to be included in Windows 10. Now, I'm sure you're going to have to purchase the glasses that go along with it at probably some ridiculous price. But I don't know, because I'm liking this new CEO for Window or for Microsoft, because he seems to be going in the right direction where Microsoft kind of lost their way for a while there. I think they found their way again. We'll see. I think they're going to be some competition now with the new Microsoft. And the other thing they announced this week was that the Microsoft phones and everything, they're going to have a program that runs on the phones that basically will allow you to run iOS apps and Android apps on a Microsoft phone.
How about that?
And so, you know, it's like if you can't beat them, join them. And of course, so that way, because they're having a problem getting developers to develop software or apps for their phones. So they're saying now, well, look, you know, if you're developing iOS apps or you're developing Android apps, well, go ahead and develop them there, and they'll run on the Microsoft stuff. So, I don't know. We'll see how well it works.
Very cool.
But Microsoft is definitely moving in the right direction as far as I'm concerned right now. So, nothing lasts forever. Now that we got Joe totally infused into Apple, we're all going to move to Microsoft.
Well,
nah,
I'll stay with Apple for a while.
I was going to say, good luck with that. I'm sticking right with where I got. I like what I have.
But I'm telling you, I'm getting a little annoyed with the operating systems. They better get on the ball again. Because these are flaky. This is flakiness, and they don't seem to be fixing it as fast as they used to. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Not happy. Not a happy camper. So, okay, that's my whining and complaining. That's my I'll have cheese with that wine segment of Geek's Corner. I think that finishes Geek's Corner, right?
I think so.
Yep.
Okay,
I think so.
So now it's time for Joel to look at diesel pickup trucks as we quickly go into the Ingress Alert.
Acquiring already position. There. Downloading latest Intel package.
Okay, that's enough.
Come on.
The only thing I can say on the Ingress Corner is some announcements were made. Yeah, there were some storylines, blah, blah, blah. You know, the fake sci-fi story that goes along with it that people pay attention to that are really into the game, I guess. And I just read it and I'm amused. And, okay, how are you changing the game for these new fake things that are happening in the game? And right now, the only extra thing going on right now is there are extra ultra strikes when you hack portals. And yes, there's a lot of extra ultra strikes coming when you hack portals right now, which is good because everybody keeps putting shields on everything. And you go through XMPs like crazy trying to get rid of these shields if you don't have ultra strikes. But, you know, the ultra strikes go right through the shield. So that's kind of cool. And the other thing, I think it's double AP right now.
You can go through crazy AP right now. It's first Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what brought this on.
Okay. Well, there's a storyline change, too, or something going on, too. And people keep talking about the as they call it, the dreaded shard rule, or word. And I have no idea what shards are, and I haven't kept up with the thing, and I you know, if it's something that you got to move along and plan to go out and do and help with teams, it's like, yeah, I don't have time for that crap. I just want to hack portals and destroy green things.
Yeah, Mark and I helped with a shard operation, and that's Mark gave up his guardian over that. But we did successfully move the shard all the way to Washington State where it needed to go.
Wow.
And Mark had already gotten his 150-day Guardian at that point. So he's like, okay, yeah, I'd like to keep it going, but if this opens the lane, I'll take my Guardian down. And he did.
Yeah. So that's the only news. Other than there's an influx of green tadpoles around here, and it's fun to fuck with them. That's what I was like.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it. I'm just, I'm building character for them. Helping
most build. Of the time, it's fun to do that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm just, you know, every once in a while as they're sitting there trying to attack something at a low level, I'll sit there and recharge on them, and you know, until they get, oh, what's this recharge thing? Until somebody tells them, and the only other thing, you know, they'll be busy setting up stuff. And actually, I'm doing them a favor by doing this. They'll set up, anyone that sets up a portal and starts putting out these long links all over the place, you know, I go through and take out that one portal, take out all their long links. I have noticed, and this is, the green team around here needs to figure this out and teach them how to field, because these guys are making all these long links, and you see links going out all over the place, and I'm looking at them, I said, wow, so now all you got to do is drive up and, you know, link these things, and you got this these huge series of fields. They're not doing that. They're just making links. And it's like, dudes, finish it. You get like twice as much AP doing that. You'll level up faster. But they don't do that. They just send long links out. So I can't let those stay. Because, you know, one of the older ones are going to link those puppies up if they stay. So, but that just means they have to start over and get more AP. So anyway, that's my Ingress for the week. And I'll probably be 11 on, I hope on Monday, but I'm nervous now that my count hasn't gone up yet.
Yeah, give it time. I've noticed that those badge counters sometimes don't go up for a day, and then all of a sudden they'll bump up two or whatever.
Yeah, I noticed.
I saw that in Guardians a lot, too.
Last week it bumped up two spots one day. Yeah, I think I went from 61 to 63, you know, one day. And I was nervous about 62 not showing up, so, okay. Or 52, I mean, sorry, not 60. If I had 60, I'd have gold. And gold would give me level 11. So.
Yeah. So. Well, I came very, very close to quitting the game this week. And Barry, you're familiar with the events that took place, but some people don't get the game.
Right.
And some people take the game way too serious. And this was a combination of both. There was a new Enlightened player that showed up, and I play this game mostly, I've stayed in it, because it's a fun thing to do between one of my sons and myself. My other son chips in when we need help, but he's really not into it.
Right.
Excuse me. But this new player showed up in the Calumet Laurium area, which is, you know, where our boys go to school. And he'd be setting up portals, and my son and I would go blow them away and leave him ghosted to start with. And we were actually trying to do the player a favor. You know, okay, you know, go build up again, and we'll blow it away, go build up again. They were sending rather irritated messages back. It's like, well, give me something to do. I'm like, well, okay. So then I put resonators on it, and the first time I loaded a couple of them up, you know, being level, I'm a level 9, my son's a level 8. So we loaded a couple of them up, so that was going to take a while for this person to take them down again. Then we got the sarcastic, well, thanks a lot.
And from then on,
and from then on, we would come into town after they had built stuff up, and we'd take stuff down, and we'd level it up to the level they were at.
Right.
We would not, you know, we were helping them as they came up. They didn't realize it, but we were helping them as they came up through the ranks. We put level 3s down, you know, until they got up to the next level, and then level 4s down. And a couple weeks ago, that this player all of a sudden started traveling with another player. And except this other player was really, really snotty on the comms. And for those of you that aren't in Ingress, this is going somewhere, so bear with me. actually sending threatening messages to us, but they're misspelled. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, you know.
The guy definitely had English as a second language, I think.
This has got to be a kid. Well, the one that was threatening messages initially, I said, this has got to be a threatening message. I mean, this has got to be a kid doing this.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense about what they're saying. I said, don't even respond to it. And we didn't.
Yeah.
And we just kept on playing. And fast forward to last Wednesday, I had a meeting at the high school as part of my band parents president role for helping raise money for the Walt Disney trip next year. And we had some scrap metal for the band and some errands to run. And our youngest son was with us, and he said, well, you know, I found in the Nexus, and I'm going to go out and play with some portals.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the meeting. My son goes out to play Ingress, and he starts getting some really snotty messages from this other player, who at this point we've discovered that the first player is a father, and the one who's sending the threatening messages is the son. And as my son is walking through town and hitting portals, he got some rather explicit messages from this person. And he came, you know, we got done with the meeting at school and said, Dad, you know, this guy sent this message to me, and he's actually following me around town with his dog and sending nasty things on the comm, and I'm just sending messages back saying, hey, you know, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, I'm just playing the game. And then this guy goes on the internet on Google Plus and reams my son out in a public forum.
Yeah, he calls him some nasty stuff, too.
Calls him some fast, nasty stuff, and then he goes on my homepage and calls him some more nasty stuff. Yes.
Oh.
And at which point I do some quick research, and this is a 50-some-year-old person going after a freshman in high school on the net. And at which point, thank you, Barry. You were my sounding board, helping keep me sane. And I went to one of the senior players in the area and said, hey, this is what's going on about this player and my son. And he's my son. I'm not going to remain objective on this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're known in the area. They all know us, how we play. Actually, in general, the Enlightened and Resistance, we are a very friendly cross-faction. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we have our own operations and everything, but we get together and have meals and drinks.
Cross-faction events.
Cross-faction stuff goes on. And this guy, okay, it's late night QRM. This guy was a fucking asshole. And he has yet to apologize.
He's not going to. He's a fucking asshole. Actually, the more I thought about it, you should get him pulled from the game because he's dangerous.
I think he's already been ostracized by the community, both sides.
I saw that. I saw that in your Upper Peninsula.
Yeah. The Upper Peninsula Cross Faction Google Plus page. Yeah. They pulled his posts. He has had no activity in the games since that night.
Really?
And maybe
he did everybody a favor and quit.
Both sides came down on him like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. But heaven help him if there's anything else that comes out of this. Because this guy's a transplant. I mean, he did go to college at Michigan Tech. He went off and did other stuff. But he's living in a very small community that, first of all the players know who he is. There's no, I mean, I know who he is. I know how old he is. I know where he lives. Mm-hmm. And all he would have to do is mention to the police, fire, EMS community what has happened here. And life would be pure hell for this guy. I have held off in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they found out that this guy went after my son on the internet, heaven help him.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, as I said, that's one of the ugliest events I have gone through. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the game playing people around here, they are family oriented.
Yeah.
They're trying to help each other. Including the Enlightened trying to help the Resistance trying to help the Enlightened, because that's what the game's about. Yeah,
exactly. Nobody owns a portal. Portals are meant to be taken.
Said, you know, everybody stood up and said, we will not stand for an adult going after a child.
No.
Period.
And like I said, I read through the community, your cross-faction community thing there, and both sides were ripping on this guy pretty bad, telling it, you know.
Yeah, I didn't go into that. I was so upset about it.
Yeah.
And I was mostly upset because my son didn't sleep all night.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He apologized left and right, and this guy continued to rip into him.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no class here.
Yeah.
54?
A great role model for his son.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, loser.
Yeah. I think he said he's... What? He's 50, just pushing 50 or something, so he might be 40.
Which means he should know goddamn better.
Yeah, yeah, he should. Yeah. And it's a game. Okay. It's a freaking game, you know? And people like that should, you know, as I responded to him, too, and I'm resistant.
I liked your response.
Yeah. And basically I said, maybe this isn't the game for you. It sounds like you have anger issues. And, you know, this is the way the game's played. It happens. This kind of stuff happens in my area all the time. And
we weren't being nasty about it.
Right. If it bothers you, then maybe this isn't the game for you. You know, if it upsets you. Because it's like, get over it. It's a freaking game, man.
Yeah,
you know, and we have some assholes like that around here, and tell you the truth, they don't last long because both sides will turn on them and they will get reported. Although, I got to say that I don't think Niantic is quite as... They're not... in the beginning, they used to ban people left and right. I don't think they're doing that quite as much now.
About money.
So, I don't know how they make money. Well, I know how they're making money because, you know, the latest shield is an AXA or AXA shield, which is an insurance company. So they sponsor the shield.
Yep.
And the Ultra Strikes were originally only available on the Motorola phone.
Yeah, originally, yeah. So, yeah, they're trying to figure out a way. And, you know, I would rather pay to play the game, I think, than have it commercialized. Because I do like the game. And if they required a modest, kind of like Joel with the Xbox, $9 a month or maybe $5 a month or something like that, I'd probably pay that to play the game.
Right.
You know, but but this guy, yeah, there are people that get upset, and when I notice that in like some of the tadpoles or something, and you know, I'm screwing with them a little bit, if I notice that they seem to be getting upset, I start talking to them on comms, and you know, I start to, in a friendly way, trying
right,
to say,
right.
You know, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm doing this so you can build up, you know. Yeah, I try to tell them, you know, nobody owns a portal, and the game gets very boring if you take an entire town and nobody comes to play against you. It stays green or it stays blue a long time. There's nothing to play. All you're sitting there doing is charging up portals. So you want the inner mix. That's the whole idea.
Right.
So, of the game. So, but... So you try to teach them, and you lose some people, and you get others, and some people get it, some people don't. Hopefully, the ones that don't get it leave, and don't go as far as this asshole was doing. Because, that would worry me too, Michael, because that guy sounded like he, especially, and I didn't know that they were following your son around. That would really, really bother me. You know?
That's just
wrong. No, it bothered me enough to do enough research and finding out who he is.
Yeah.
But again, all I'd have to say something to the police chief in town is that this is what happened.
Yeah.
So. And there would have been a talking to.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, enough with Ingress.
Mm-hmm.
It's time, once again, for everybody's favorite section, Bottom Gear. And first off, we have to go with the results from the poll. Oh, I thought it was on the page. Ah, damn.
I thought it
switched out on me. We did the extensive scientific poll, as you know, for 1 week. It was pinned to the top of the community page. And without going through the whole storyline, here is what you voted for. You could vote yes, keep... Oh, God, I gotta... Hang on. My eyes are old. I have to actually blow the damn thing up so I can see it. Yes means keep Joel as the host of Bottom Gear. He didn't do anything that I wouldn't do in the same circumstances. And the other way you could vote was no... Joel should not be fired from Bottom Gear. Fired Bottom Gear would not be the same without him. And
yes,
the results of this extensive, very scientific poll that we took.
Yes.
82% said, yes, keep Joel as the host of Bottom Gear. He didn't do anything that I wouldn't do in that same circumstances. And there was 18% that voted no. Joel should not be fired. Bottom Gear would not be the same without him. So I would say that Joel has officially been brought back as the host of Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I am one of your hosts, Joel, and tonight we have a few stories for you.
Oh, and by the way, I want to tell you that it was pretty difficult in tabulating.
Oh, yeah. With, what, four votes?
The mass, we got 11 votes.
Wow.
11 votes. And I believe your beautiful bride voted no.
But, you know, in a turn of the and characteristics of the TARDIS, it also winds up in a 100% let's keep Joel.
Yeah, it did. Yes.
So it's amazing.
100%
let's keep Joel. Math. It's Hoovy in math.
It's better than science.
So thank you to all those who voted in this very important poll. And Joel, welcome back.
Oh, why, thank you very much. And first and foremost, I want to say thank you for all those who voted to keep me. I missed it immensely. And I will do my best to keep you well informed of our automotive and mechanical woes, trials, tribulations, and victories. Along with the other fellas. Because it's not all about me, it's just I happen to own the most shittiest cars of us all.
Well, you know,
I was going to say, on that same note, not to cut you off, I actually read a story about Jeremy Clarkson might be going back to the BBC.
Really?
Not for Top Gear.
No.
But a top BBC executive had said he was sacked from Top Gear, but we didn't say we wouldn't renew his contract on other projects.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, there's also rumors that because the other guys, two guys left too.
Yep.
That, they're a trio. Maybe another program starting up. All I can say is Bottom Gear's taken.
Yes. Yeah, really. Say, it better not be called Bottom Gear. Or they could pay you a royalty.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, you can use Bottom Gear.
The latter is actually preferable.
So, but, yes. So, it's good news. Joel is back.
Hello.
Where he should be. So, take it away.
And it's good to be back.
Yes.
I missed you guys.
Well, you were actually here, and you did participate in a way.
Well, yeah. But I couldn't do the hello part.
Yeah. And we missed that.
It wasn't the same, Joel. Yeah.
It just wasn't the same.
I don't know. It tickles me to be able to say it.
I know you enjoyed it. It was what you look forward to every week.
It is, on Saturday nights, to be able to do my Jeremy Clarkson impression of his opening of his old show.
I actually caught Joel walking down Main Street in Nashua. He didn't know it, but I was farming Nashua. Mm-hmm. And I saw him out there, and he was just walking up to people going, "Hello, and welcome to..." And people were running away from him.
And they're saying, "You can't do that."
Yeah, you can't do that.
Oh my God, Flop Luger.
Anyway, whoops. Good day.
That was awesome.
That was good.
Oh God, fat figures.
That was good.
Yeah, I know. Pretty impromptu, actually.
Adam Curry would be proud.
Yeah.
That was awesome. So on that, those notes, what do we got cooking, Barry? I'm sorry. Yeah, what is it that you have for us with the Prius?
I almost played the long version because, you know, this is kind of an important event. Well, what the hell?
Love and you is easy. just a dream come true.
Oh, yeah.
That's so lovable.
Everything that I do is out of love and you.
So true.
Is all he gave it his all. swing and a miss.
I can't talk now. I just wanted to tell you that the Prius went over 193,000 miles.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's getting close. Getting close to the 200,000 mile, and at this rate, I'll probably be hitting in a couple of weeks. Doesn't take long.
Yeah, no kidding.
With a 100-mile commute each day.
So, yeah, it won't take long at all.
Yeah, so I just gotta keep watching because I want to take a picture. I got a picture of it when I hit 100,000 last week, and now that when it goes over 200,000 next week, I'll take another picture.
Right.
So and but I do have to say that it will be 10 years old in June, mm-hmm. and well, at least I will have had it for 10 years in June.
Right, right,
and still running strong. Doing good. Got a couple scratches here and there. Needs a major inside bath. Because I took Sammy up to the top of Temple Mountain thinking that the dirt road would not be quite as muddy as it was. And, well, the back seat is full of brown dog fur marks.
Yeah, ball marks and fur.
So even though I put a cover on the back seat where Sammy sits, but he's... Anyway, but the only other issue I have with it, it is still suffering from a very bad case of Burger King onion rings.
Oh, so please.
That, the air conditioning still has not recovered from that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go take it to Dr. Kenny. Probably try once again to recharge it, but I'm hoping there's not much more damage than just a recharge.
Oh yeah, you evacuate the system, pump the dye in, yeah, to try and find the leak.
Yeah.
Pressurize it and see if you can see where it's coming out from. It may be as simple as like an O-ring that, you know, after 10 years of vibration, it needs to be replaced.
One case of Burger King onion rings.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Actually, you know what? I have never had Burger King onion rings while sitting in the Prii. If you recall, that was Sbarro Pizza we had on our way through New York. So I now have a goal. I want to come up with the biggest bag of Burger King onion rings. I'm not even going to stop in the house. You're going to have the car parked outside the garage. I'm going to get in the car, close the doors, lock them, eat the whole bag, wait 5 minutes, then you can see what happens with Burger King onion rings. You'll have to burn the car.
Okay.
I could crack a windshield at 20 feet.
At least
feet.
Change the filter in the glove compartment.
I could do that. Cost me $5 in 3 minutes.
I'll melt that cabin filter.
Well, that was another thing, and I don't have a song... I don't have a song for the RAV4. I'm going to have to find one for that. But Emery took the RAV4 down for, we get the tire stuff done down there because she had a slow leak in the back tire, so they had to fix it because we've got one of those deals. We paid a little extra. And we get unlimited tires for the length of the car. So as long as she does things on time, and she's been keeping up with that. But they went through. And they said, we're just looking through. And they said, it looks like your cabin filter needs to be changed. Do you want us to do that? And she looks at him. She goes, well, how much is that going to cost me? And they said, okay, well, right now it'll be $90. And she looked at him and said, I just ordered cabin filters off of Amazon, official Toyota cabin filters. It cost me $11. Hers are a little more expensive. $11, and I can do it in under 3 minutes without any tools.
And that just puts a service writer that they're just going to go, okay.
Well, let's get her out. And that's where she finished it. And I said, you should have said, then tell me how that costs $90. See, I would have continued the conversation.
You'd have drilled them.
Yeah, I really wanted to hear an explanation of why it costs $90 to do a 3-minute job with an $11 filter.
Part. Yeah. Yep. So you're telling me either that filter is marked up 700%, because it's not going to take the mechanic any longer than the same 3 minutes.
Right. Or they're getting very wealthy mechanics working there.
Yes,
they're getting
exactly.
A shitload of money per hour to work there. If they're getting $90 a day,
yes,
for a 3-minute job.
For a 3-minute job. So. And no tools. So you can't even say, well, we have to use the special screwdriver to get access to the door to replace the filter.
Got to pop these two clips.
Yep. It's like, punk, punk. There it comes off. There's a plastic. Pull the filter. Put the new one in. Yeah.
Yep. So that's my stories. That's it.
And that would lead to Michael.
Yep. So, pretty soon I'll be doing a segment on the Family Truckster.
Oh, God, I wasn't ready for that one! I was all...
Yes, thank you, because it's going to need a lot of maintenance pretty soon, including during all the scrap metal... pickup that we've been doing this last week for the school band. At one point, we lowered the tailgate, and the left hinge snapped off the bottom of the tailgate.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, but I looked at where it's at. It's going to have to be taken off and tack a new one on type deal.
Right,
broke, but it's they're designed to be replaced.
Right, it's just an inconvenience.
Yes. And so right now I have to hold it up and then snap it in. You know, it still latches at the top, but I told my wife, we can't do this indefinitely because it's going to start wearing in the mechanism now because the weight of the tailgate's on the latch pin and not on the hinge like it should be. So there's that, and there's some, well, you've heard, there's some brake issues. Still hit the brake pedal, and it's like, warning, Will Robinson, warning, something's not right here. And we got issues going on with, you know, the Family Truckster. And, of course, my Jeep is still inspected. And we haven't come up with a song yet for David's Jeep, but, you know, really it is in the same class. Oh,
Beauty.
There you go.
Beauty. Beauty.
Yes, it is. I agree. So, it's a 97 Jeep Wrangler. That's what the hell it is.
It's a working car.
My God, it's a working car. Not only is it a working car, but boy, is this thing economical. I go through about 2 gallons of gas a week running around in this thing.
Beauty.
Literally. Yes, it is in the beauty category. Although, you know, I was working right up until the time I had to leave for this photo shoot on Thursday afternoon, and my wife had to run to town. So I took David's Jeep to Eagle Harbor, not even thinking about how much gas was in the tank, because it showed a little bit under a quarter tank.
Right.
Well, on David's Jeep, a little bit under a quarter tank is less than a gallon.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
It's 14 miles to Eagle Harbor. Hmm. And, of course, it's 14 miles back. It's
back,
not up.
So well, 30 miles.
But I get to Eagle Harbor, and I'm going along, and all of a sudden, the gas gauge just goes... Whoop! It just drops, and I could actually watch it dropping. It's like, oh, it's a little sensitive on the low end, I see. And by the time I got to Eagle Harbor, the gauge was below empty.
Oh, jeez, Louise!
And it made it to Eagle Harbor, but it's like there's no gas station. The gas station in Copper Harbor was closed for the night. Although if I called, come. That's the way it is in the harbor. And if I headed south, I would have had to go on another 18, 20 miles to get to the next open gas station. So we did the photo shoot, and then I didn't want to worry anybody. I just made sure that when everybody broke up for the, you know, that they all kind of hung out afterwards, and I did that podcast episode. And I made sure I got in front of everybody is heading backwards. But and I didn't realize the gas gauge went that far below empty.
Wow.
But I got back here and I threw a 2-gallon can of gas back in it, and I'm back up to quite, you know, 3/8 of a tank again.
Really?
The thing is just amazing. Now it needs it's going to need a new blend box and work on the heater, but at this point, this time of year, it's not an issue. What's most important to my son is that it has a non-working radio in it.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, there you go. So, but he's got to be getting really close to deciding it's time for him to go take his test. So I'll have to be turning this over to him. But I must say, I mean, it's austere as, I mean, you know, anything lower than this, you're going back to the old Willie's Jeep.
Right.
And it's just, you know, 5-speed, 4-banger. But it's fun to drive. And it has instilled the confidence in me that, as a father, I'm not worried about my son taking this vehicle over because I know it will get him wherever he needs to go.
Right, right. Safe and reliable and economical.
Yep, 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 yep. So that's the family vehicle update here.
All right.
As far as the driving vehicles are concerned.
Right.
Now, you know, we really need to have Doug as a guest on the show. We need to send that
invitation. I couldn't agree. Now. I couldn't agree more.
Because I'm not going to go into detail here, but yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, actually, when we were walking Nearfest, Scott had mentioned that, you know, we kind of base the show off of a late night talk show.
Yep.
He goes, and you do everything except for one thing. And he said, what? He goes, you don't have guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about that now. We may have to arrange to have guests every so often.
I think it'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm thinking.
I'm suggesting for Bottom Gear here is, as I said, I'm not going to retell Doug's story because only Doug can tell Doug's story. But going back to January 15th, and I remember that because it was the day before my birthday, and Doug had an event.
Oh,
wait a minute. On the highway up in Toronto.
You're talking about Doug up in Toronto?
Yeah.
Good day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Take off through the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off through the great white north.
Okay.
Got so he's had to relate stories of his beloved vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And that actually reminds me of a 1972 Opel GT. I'll save that for another segment. And what has happened since January 15th? And things I thought had settled down a bit until the last episode from Wednesday, which would have been April 29th.
Yes.
So you go back to Slug is Doug, Slug Daily.
Yep.
Look them up on the net. If you're not a subscriber, you need to be.
Mm-hmm. Should be.
And start looking at January 15th, or go back further. I mean, they're all entertaining. But if you want to hear the Bottom Gear segments, you know, start out around the 15th, and you can hear the events that have occurred with his beloved vehicle.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I feel his pain. I feel his pain.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to have him on. Maybe he'll be our first guest.
That would be good.
I think it would be excellent.
Of course, we need to get Scott on, too. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you know,
yeah, he's hung in there with us for a long time.
I'm telling you, if we invite Scott on, we will break the 17-hour marathon.
We can save him for that.
Scott likes to talk. So.
Which is good, because when people who do podcasts,
they should talk.
They should talk.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. I was dying. I'm dying on you guys here. I'm so doggone tired right now. I have no idea why.
No.
Go to a ham fest. It'll do it to you.
Yeah. And other than you have a
son. Oh my god.
Other than your head right now looks like a setting sun.
Yeah, it's burning up.
Yeah. So we're almost done. So. But Michael's got one more.
So Michael, what do you have for your the last topic under Bottom Gear?
Yes. Finally, I've had my tractor in my garage for 2 years now.
Okay,
which has just been killing.
Hold it. I'll let you borrow this one.
Yeah. Thank you, Barry. Yeah, we'll have to come up with a theme for the tractor. But yes, one of the few things that actually did make the transition from the farm to Copper Harbor was our farm tractor. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a whole. I'll do a podcast that shall not be named about that, because I could spend a lot of time talking about how we acquired that and everything else. But it has had some mechanical issues, and it's down in the drivetrain somewhere. I'm hoping it's just the clutch and pressure plate, but it's a big enough tractor where you actually have to break the thing in half at the drive, because the whole thing is built around the drivetrain. You got to unbolt everything. So I've got a very good friend in town who was actually a diesel mechanic, but not only a diesel mechanic, but a diesel mechanic from a freighter diesel mechanic.
Oh, wow.
we're talking a serious diesel mechanic.
Yes.
And he's like, it's just a crime to have this thing sitting in the garage. And it's like, well, you know, I just haven't had, I've gotten to the point where I can't do the rest of it by myself. He said, mm-hmm. Oh, we can break that thing apart in half a day. I said, you know, Fred, I've actually got it down to the last 5 bolts. He's like, well, let's do it now. I'm like, well, no, let me get ready for this. But, you know, I've taken all the hydraulics off. I've got all the exhaust off. I've got all the linkage apart. Everything is down to the last 5 bolts on the bell housing.
I hope you took pictures.
So I have been taking pictures. And hopefully this week. Really, it's up to me now. It's just trying to find, just like, yeah, come over and install my internet. I just need like 3 hours to set aside out of my day somewhere to finish taking this apart, this tractor apart, and hopefully it's not, you know, something life-ending for that tractor.
Right. Everything's fixable.
But everything's fixable as well. I can find parts for it, but everything's fixable.
Good point. Good point.
But it's a nice diesel four-wheel drive tractor, and more importantly, it's my snow removal tool up here.
Yeah, that's kind of important.
And front-end loader. Yeah, it's kind of an important issue up here. It was the snow removal tool up here for years before my neighbors got their John Deere's.
Oh,
John Deere's.
God damn it.
John Deere's.
Someone else's. Yeah.
But they have returned the favor, because, you know, I cleared 3 miles of road, a private road, for years up here. Right. And when this went down, my neighbors have helped me out. Although, you know, most of the time, you know, they're helping me out, but when they need things cleared and they're not around, I run their equipment. So we all kind of take care of each other. Blucher!
That was pre-thought.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
So that's what I got from Bottom Gear. I didn't mean to monopolize it tonight.
No, that's fine. Cool. So I guess that brings us to our last segment of the show, Entertainment Last Month. This week on Entertainment Last Month, I got to tell you that I tried to watch the BBC miniseries, which is also a PBS masterpiece theater thing. It's called Wolf Hall, the program. It's basically, it takes place in the time of King Henry VIII, and I would like to tell you, and it's about a character who is like the lawyer to the bishop who of the Catholic Church, and of course this is at the time when King Henry VIII wants to divorce his wife, and, you know, we're pretty much getting to the point where the Church of England starts up, but I gotta say, I watched 2 episodes. They were an hour apiece. I think I watched 10 minutes. And I don't know whether it was just because I was tired, or it was the Jack Daniels and Coke Zero that I had, or it was the comfy Lazy Boy chair, but it did not keep my interest going. It was a little dry. And although I gotta say that the action, I mean, the background, the scenery, the clothing, all that was done, it was excellent, done to that time, or what I would imagine it would look like in that time period. But, man, I had a hard time staying awake.
You know. That happens.
Yeah, so... I'm saying that it's if you're having problems sleeping, that's the show to watch.
That's a ringing endorsement.
Some people, I truly like those kind of shows, because especially if they get the dress of the period, and you know, I like to watch those to see, well, how was life back then? You know, I know we don't know for sure, but the fact that, you know, they're pretty authentic on the types of buildings they lived in, the types of things they had to work with at the time, and the clothing and everything. I find that totally fascinating, but obviously not fascinating enough for Wolf Hall.
Hmm.
So, that's my review.
Cool. Michael?
Well, I got a couple of them this week. First of all, I want to do an update from last week and saying... you know, I've been using PodRunner from my music for running, and I was going to go ahead and download the app. Well, hold on there. It doesn't look like the app is currently available. And really? Normally that's because, yeah, there's an issue with probably one of the issues I have. If you're just a casual developer for Apple,
mm-hmm.
if you develop an app, you put it up in the App Store, you know, you've got that 70-30 split that you've got to deal with. But the other thing you've got to deal with is that if you do not maintain your yearly subscription membership, they will pull your app from the store. So I'm thinking that's what's happened.
Really?
So not only do you have a 70-30 split, but you have to renew that $99 membership each year or your app will not stay in the store.
Okay. Wow.
So the...
Yeah.
PodRunner app is not currently available. I'm hoping he does renew that. I'm actually going to contact the author and say, hey, is this gone for good, or is this just a lapse type thing? Because I can see how that would happen. Mm-hmm. But it's not available.
Huh.
But I still like that the podcast is still active, so it's not like he's gone away.
Yeah. Wow.
And you can go through the catalog of podcasts, and each one of them tells you what the beat is for each mix. And the whole point is that you pick a beat that matches your stride,
mm-hmm.
or the, you know, the speed that you want to do the run.
Right.
But the app actually lets you take any one of those podcasts that he does and adjust the beat to the beat that you want to run at.
Hmm.
So
okay.
I will keep you posted, because as I said, I use the podcast on a regular basis for my long runs.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
And the other item I got for entertainment last month is that... Chris and I, in addition to listening to John Meadows and the MPP podcast, which we thoroughly enjoy, he's doing about one of those a week. It's one of those 15 to 17 minute episodes. But I heard him mention that he was doing another podcast. I was not having any luck at finding it through Google. That's a serious issue when you can't find it on Google.
Yeah,
but, seriously. So, but I do follow him on Twitter, so I just direct messaged John Meadows right off the bat. I said, hey, John, you know, I heard you doing two podcasts, but I can't find the other one. The other podcast he's doing is called Classic Camera Revival. He's doing that with a couple of other photographers. And for those that aren't following John Meadows, he's got some websites out there you can follow too. But he is shooting in film. He's using old, anywhere from small to medium format cameras, shooting in film, developing the film in his own facility, and then I think he's digitizing the film for the, you know, for the prints.
Huh.
But they are using film cameras, and that's what this podcast is about. So if you're not into film cameras, or if you haven't done film cameras, or if you aren't interested in development and, you know, all the tricks and of the trade that go along with that, this is probably not the show for you. Unless you're curious about it, I have done extensive developing in the past, both black and white and color. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And my wife is just flat out a photographer. So she's thoroughly enjoying it. So that's my pick for this week.
Very cool. All right.
cool. You know, I'm in Joel's position right now too. The day is catching up.
You looking at diesel trucks?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. The day has quickly started to catch up with me.
Yes. I don't know what it was.
If I hadn't slept till noon today, it would have been the same for me.
It might be the straight vodka I'm drinking too. But
yeah, that would do it.
So I'm on my second sippy cup. And
the John Deere variety? Oh my God!
No, I'm not playing it again. We've heard it enough tonight. I'm in the Kutztown sippy cup still for this,
which is still a darn respectable size sippy cup, I might add.
It is, and I've been using it for over 10 years, so you know it's still going to be around.
It's seasoned.
Yes, it can take a break now and then. Now it has a chance to rest.
I still got my jerky sippy cup up there.
Do you?
Yeah, your house.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You do. Where the hell did I put that?
It was in the cupboard in the kitchen.
Okay, that's good.
Over the coffee maker.
Yeah. Yeah, you going to leave that up here for when you come up?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us. We're almost at 3 hours.
No wonder.
Well, there's 20 minutes of pre-show. So.
This is true. So we're at two and a half hours.
We'll get edited down. So the musical guest tonight of our... We're coming up toward the end of our 1970s Billboard Hot 100 number 40 songs. And this year it's 1977. And the Billboard Hot 100 number 40 song for 1977 was The Jacksons with Enjoy Yourself. So we'll be hearing that whether you like it or not. Ha! It's the second Jackson song that made the list on this one. I'm thinking once we finish this, I think we're going to have host picks. Where each of you guys get to pick, we'll shorten it. We'll do a month worth for each person. So we'll get.
That's cool.
We'll have you guys pick 4 songs.
We like AC/DC.
Cool. It doesn't matter. You can pick whatever you want. Because you know when I edit this thing together, I just grab it and drop it in. I don't have to listen to it if I don't want to.
This is true. This is very very true.
Actually, I like AC/DC, so that's fine. I like most music. I have varied tastes.
Yes, so, indeed.
So we'll be listening to them, and we'd like to say to everybody out there in the military, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you're doing. And especially you OCONUS guys, be careful out there. And we hope you get home to your family and friends real soon. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you.
Super.
So, with that, we will finish this long, almost marathon-like podcast. So, from the I Have Plastic on Where My Windows Used to Be, the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
McLuhan! Oh, sorry. From Studio V, this is Michael, the virtual keeper.
All right. Thanks, everybody. That show, what is this show? 179, right?
179.
179. 180 next week. And until then, here are the Jacksons.
You sing the dance.
Samson, speak. Good boy.